about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Stay here with me. Get in on the ground floor of this thing. Who knows? This could turn out to be a big hunk of bull. But it'll be our hunk of bull.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G. Ah!
When you heard the bugaloo, not the bugaloos, it's bugalees.
I mean, how do you come up with this stuff? Where does this come from? Why?
I just think it's time to maybe, you know, put some of these old Kevin-y traditions out to pasture. There's just some things that aren't funny anymore that you continue to do every year, and it's time to move on and produce new content. And we can all, you know, move into 2017 and in a new life.
And now the current hit by the recording star whose mother nearly died of bee stings because his father was at the South Pole with Admiral Byrd.
Our feature presentation.
Was that real? Was that really part of a countdown?
Yes, it was. And it's been killing me that I can't remember what artist he was talking about.
Well, it doesn't seem like it would be that difficult to do the research on that one. It seems like there are a few key words like bees.
Right.
And birds.
Boy, right. That's a strange story.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
I love that so much.
I will look into that and see if I can find out.
Please do.
It does crack me up.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Monday. It's the 21st of November.
So, I like this time of year in Southern California where you go straight from drought times into flood times.
That's good.
That's a nice transition, a nice 24-hour period as you watch the seasons change, right?
Oh, my God, it's raining!
No, but this is just a fake-out.
What do you mean?
This is just we're going to get a little rain, and then tomorrow will be fine. And everybody will be saying, don't use water.
Right, it'll be back to drought time. There was a lot of rain yesterday, though.
Yeah.
I mean, I saw, you know, a video of, you know, roads with a lane completely overtaken by water.
Yeah.
So, good times, right?
The city's made for water. That's what I love about it.
It's one great thing about L.A. is it was designed
right
for flooding, mm-hmm. for sure. So, anyway, we do have a big show today. Looking forward to it. I got an interesting story to get us started. I may need a little help. We may need to get some help from some medical professionals to explain some of the things that are going on in this. But this is a for reals story out of South Africa. I mean, in fact, I'm actually going to be looking at it, reading it to you from a South African medical journal. This is a 28-year-old South African man who endured a rare case of penile strangulation, you guys.
Hang on a second. Let me scratch that out for so that happened.
Okay, go ahead.
Sorry, did you have this story? Do you want me to do it?
This is worth it.
This is worth it. Here's what a 28-year-old man presented to the casualty department at Van Velden Hospital, which is in a rural part of the Limpopo province in South Africa. Brought into the hospital by his mother, by the way. And I want you
to think. That's my favorite part.
Think about that conversation. Hey, mom, can you take me to the emergency room?
Why, son?
I have my wedding ring stuck on my penis. How?
Why? Because.
I wonder if the reason his wife didn't take him, by the way, is that she just gave birth within the 2 weeks previous to this. So maybe she wasn't up for being up and around and driving, and that's why he had to call his mom. And if his wife had just given birth, what was he – I'm trying to figure out what was going on at home where he was playing with his wedding ring. You know what I mean?
He didn't need a plus one.
Maybe that's what it is, yes. Yeah. All right. His penis was severely swollen and blue – and constricted with his wedding ring at the middle section. The patient reported that he had applied the ring 4 hours previously for erotic reasons on the recommendation of his friends.
His friends must have been hysterical. Can you imagine?
Have you ever been in a conversation where your friends have said to you, hey, Kevin, what are you doing this weekend? Why don't you try putting your wedding ring on your penis? What kind of conversation is that?
And not to penis shame, but does a wedding ring fit
there?
I would hope not.
Yeah. The penis was erect and blue, and the patient was in severe pain. However, his vital signs were normal. The patient was immediately taken to the casualty theater. We first attempted to use the string method to remove the ring with the patient under sedation with ketamine. Now, this is where I was saying I may need some help from medical professionals. What do you think the string method is?
I don't know. I don't know what that is. I saw that and didn't know as well.
However,
I know it was ineffective. That's all I know.
Yes, this failed because of excessive swelling. A second attempt at removal was made using an orthopedic oscillating saw. That would terrify me if they had a saw down there to try to get that ring off.
Because
right?
Once they cut through the ring.
Yes, yes, yes. You better have a steady hand, Doc. The ring proved too wide and strong with limited space due to swelling. An attempt was then made using an aspiration method. Multiple puncture aspirations were applied with a 20 milliliter syringe and a pink needle. Now, what do you think that means?
I think they were trying to. Wow, this is some good breakfast conversation. I think they were trying to
an aspiration method.
Yeah, I think they were trying to get
rid
of some
of the blood. What were they puncturing? The ring? Oh,
no.
Oh, I see. They're trying to decrease the swelling. I see what you're saying.
Oh, they were puncturing the ring.
The edema subsided and the ring was successfully removed, so that worked. The patient was admitted and treated with broad-spectrum antibiotics and analgesia. Within 3 days, he had completely recovered and was discharged. 1 month later, the patient was reviewed as an outpatient, and he reported a full recovery. So penile strangulation is a rare emergency but occasionally occurs on a worldwide basis. There are no proper guidelines that exist for treatment of this condition. The best method is the one with the most successful outcome. So this is from the medical journal in case there are other doctors out there who encounter this in their emergency room. But there's so many things about this story. I want to know the conversation with his mom.
That's all I care about is his conversation with his mom, and then when they go to the hospital, the conversation the mom had to have with the hospital.
Yes.
He did what?
And the friends who talked him into it, I want to get their side.
I want to high five them.
And by the way, how's his wife feeling about all this? How's his wife thinking about the choice she made with the man she married?
Oh, I can't believe that she's very happy with that.
Yeah. Hold on, this story does have everything.
But we do have a little bit more information. Steph in Glendale. Hi.
Oh, fantastic.
Hi guys. How are y'all doing this morning?
We are good.
We apologize that you had to wake up to this story though.
It's a rough start, but go ahead. You know something about the string method?
Well, I had an experience with, I believe, what this string method is. I had a fish hook stuck in my foot, and the doctor went over to the curtain. He cut off a piece of string. He tied it in a loop around the bottom of the fish hook and yanked it out as hard as he could.
What?
Oh.
Yeah.
That's not a method.
That was the method.
What?
And by the way, hold on. Did you say that he took the string off of a curtain
yes,
in the emergency room?
He cut it off of a curtain.
Then he tried to charge me $500 for the piece of string.
Well,
I just feel like, though, that at a hospital they ought to have their own supplies.
Right? He could have
used
his kit.
So the string method is just get a hold of it and yank?
That
was his problem in the first place.
Well, that's what I thought, too.
Wow. Oh, my gosh. Wow. Wow. Okay. Well, thank you for that, Steph. We really appreciate it.
All right.
Thank
you.
Hey, you too. Thank you very much. All right. So don't do any of the things that have been described here, kids. That's our takeaway.
Let's talk about today's Kevin Abicho, shall we?
Oh, God. I'm sorry. Am I still here?
We always talk with Harvey Levin from TMZ on Mondays.
Mm-hmm.
Find out what the celebrities are doing over the weekend.
Well, plus a big day for Harvey. He had that one-hour primetime special Friday night where he interviewed President-elect Donald Trump.
Stephen Hawking says we only have 1,000 years to live on Earth, so that's good news. We have your made-up childhood names, which we found out some of us have, some of us don't.
Mm-hmm.
Some of us have really weird made-up childhood names. So that's coming up this morning. We have Andrew Siciliano talking about NFL Week 11. Is the NFL over yet? Is the season over yet? You guys know or?
No,
because I stopped watching
week 11.
Week 11. Is it? But 11 is as far as it goes.
No, it's still 16 regular season games. Mm.
My team's out, so I just assumed everyone else.
Be red, see red.
Be red, see red.
And we have tickets for both nights of the K Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas 2016.
Yay!
And we're gonna do it in a unique way that we haven't done it in a long time, and we're gonna do that just after six.
This is great news. For those who say, I've called K-Rock 200 times and can't get through, this is an opportunity for you to make it happen.
Right. Exactly. We're going to give you your first we'll explain it to you coming up just after 6 o'clock. So keep listening. We'll take a break. We'll come back with the Showbiz Beat next. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 551.
You can see that nice lady there, Bishop Briggs, on night number two of the sold-out K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas 2016 at the Forum, December 11th, because you will have also been to night number one the night before when you win tickets to both nights. We'll tell you how you can do that coming up just after 6 o'clock. It's very exciting. Tickets to both nights is that's amazing, right?
Yeah, and it's great that the Catholic Church is letting women be bishops, I think. Finally, they're moving into the 21st century, and they have a female bishop. I think it's an excellent idea.
Ralph,
I support it wholeheartedly.
It's her name.
And I'm
going to
let the pontiff know that I'm
wrong.
On board.
She's not a bishop. Her name is bishop. That's not her occupation or her title. That's
sure
just her
that's
first,
her name?
First name. Yes, it's Bishop Briggs.
Bishop positive
Briggs.
That's her name.
Yeah. Yes, that is her name.
Her legal given name.
Yes, that's her name.
I'm going to have to do some research on that.
All right. Hey, Ralph Graben is here. How was the big Friday night birthday bash after your podcast?
I am told I had a great time.
Right?
To the best of my knowledge.
At what point do you start remembering the weekend? Was it Saturday afternoon?
Yeah, Saturday afternoon-ish.
Okay.
Because my wife claims she came downstairs Saturday morning and found me fully dressed with my jacket on, just passed out on the couch.
I hope she did the right thing and take pictures and then draw a penis on your head, forehead.
Nope.
Come on!
She said she and my daughter were trying to gingerly go about their business in the morning. And I sprung up and said, "What time is it?" And they said, "It's 7. I was like, "I'm late for work."
Saturday?
Yeah, and it was Saturday. And then I promptly went back down and fell down and went to sleep.
That's pretty sweet.
Yeah, so it was a good time. It was had by all.
You planned for it. I mean, you knew that's what it was going to be. You knew Friday night was going to be a blowout.
I did, yes.
So it's not like you had something you had to do on Saturday.
No, it was planned, but it was a bad plan in retrospect because I paid for it all day Saturday. But everybody who came down was amazing, and there was lots of Kevin and Bean listeners there on Friday night, and we had a blast. So thanks to everybody who stopped by and said hi. We took some pictures and hung out. It was a good time.
Awesome. All right, it is Monday morning. Let's see what's going on in the world of showbiz.
Well, because it is Monday morning, we take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. And as expected, a lot of people wanted to know where to find Fantastic Beasts, it turns out.
Right?
I think it's that Pokemon craze. That's what this is a reflection of. People are trying to find those Fantastic Beasts. And they have their phones out and they're running through
I don't think
through,
they're connected.
Cemeteries?
I don't believe they're connected.
I'm pretty sure they are.
I don't think they are.
Well, Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them racked up an estimated $75 million at the box office this weekend, crushing pretty much everything else, including the third weekend of Doctor Strange and Trolls, which were second and third. But Doctor Strange came in with $17.7 million. Then Trolls right behind that with $17.5. Arrival had $11.8 million and Almost Christmas clocked in at $7 million, which makes it number five. On the list, Hacksaw Ridge came in at number six, then followed by The Edge of 17, which debuted with $4.8 million. Bleed for This debuted with just $2.4 million. The Accountant and Shut-In were your top 10 movies at the box office. Are we living in a world now where you can't really do well at the box office unless you're Harry Potter or a superhero? Do movies like
I think for the most part
The Edge of 17 and Bleed for This, should we just not bother trying to make good small movies anymore because it's just a write-off?
We do hear often from filmmakers as guests on this show that those movies are very difficult to get financing for, and I guess that's why.
Yeah. People are dumb.
I don't know. In this particular case, it's a pretty fantastic movie.
Yeah, but you don't have to go to just those.
Right.
But you can go to others.
No, agree.
As well, too. Tom Bien.
Right.
Right. Just saying, don't be dumb. Look who I'm talking to.
Nothing
right?
What am I thinking?
Speaking of cool movies, Isla Fisher says there's going to be a sequel to Wedding Crashers on the way. How about that?
All right.
Love that film. I think there's more story that can be told with that group of people. Isla starred, of course, in the film with Vince Vaughn and Owen Wilson and Rachel McAdams. And they said they're all on board. In fact, Vince told her about the sequel recently. She said she'd love to reprise her role and work with those people again. That was 11 years ago, by the way, that movie came out.
Was it really?
Can you believe it? It's been that long.
And Will Ferrell is starting to go to funerals, try and pick up chicks. In that movie.
Yes. Yeah. He did that in that movie.
He did. Because it's not Wedding Crashers. He was going to funerals and picking up chicks.
Right. Remember that in the movie?
In the movie when that happened.
We all saw that movie.
Remember that?
Yeah. Looks like Han Solo's got a new girlfriend. Emilia Clarke from Game of Thrones has been cast as the romantic lead in the new young Han Solo spin-off film. Starring Aldrin Ehrenreich. Donald Glover will play, of course, Lando Calrissian, as we've been told. And now the female lead of the film has been slotted in. So, Emilia and Alden, sitting in the tree. K-I-S-S-I-N-G. Much like Princess Leia and Han Solo herself,
as the Twitter was all on fire at the end of last week and over the weekend about Karrison.
Karrison. Is that the new couple name?
That's right. Karrison. During the making of the first Star Wars film, apparently, Carrie Fisher and Harrison Ford had quite the passionate affair.
Mm-hmm.
He at 33, married with two children, her at 19.
Now, Ralph, what do you think about her revealing this information now?
Well, as she has said herself, it was 40 years ago.
Right.
Right.
And,
But, I mean, he has children now who know that their parent, you know, their father cheated on their mother. I don't know that that's super cool, right?
That marriage is well over.
Right, but
for
the
kids. For a lot of reasons.
But the kids, though,
are
alive.
You think the kids thought everything was great? That's why mom and dad split up? Because everything was going just hunky-dory?
You know what? This is so good. I don't want it to turn.
It's so crazy. They're so crazy in love with each other, and yet they got divorced. I can't imagine there's any problems in that relationship.
Okay, but what I'm saying is it's different to know that your parents got a divorce because it didn't work out. It's something else to know that your dad cheated on your mom. And I don't know that it was necessary that this information had to come out.
Well, Carrie Fisher ran it past Harrison Ford, and he apparently was okay with it.
Is that right?
Yeah.
All right. But Bean's not happy.
That's right.
They didn't take him into account.
They did not run it past
that's
Bean.
That's not cool.
Is not cool.
It made me feel icky, that's all.
Well.
We don't want that.
We don't want you to have icky feelings. Maybe she ran it past Harrison Ford. And she said, how do you feel about me revealing this information? And he went, I realize you got it. You're on there, but don't let me tell him. You're icky. And then she thought, oh, okay, guys, he's all right with it. As far as I can tell, I can't.
Sounded like he said yes in there somewhere.
I can't really make it out. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. All these people born on today, November 21st. Carly Rae Jepsen. Oh, Carly Rae Jepsen. Carly Rae Jepsen is 31 years old.
No, I love her.
Ralph, you walked in the tail end of that conversation when Bean said she's a fantastic artist.
Oh, sweet Jesus.
And she is, by the way. Completely underrated.
I think she's rated just right.
Listen to a little Carly Rae on your way home today, Ralph, and
yep.
You'll realize what you
Ralph and I are going to do that. I can guarantee it.
Kevin and I have a listening party planned. Yeah. We're going to sit out in the rain under an umbrella and just listen to some Carly Rae Jepsen.
Because she's a fantastic artist.
She is so underrated, in my opinion.
Thank you. Thank you. Finally, we can all agree on something.
She's a powerhouse with all the important lyrics that she has about calling her maybe.
Exactly.
You don't know. Maybe you call. Maybe you don't. That's one of the great musical questions ever asked.
Right?
Jenna Malone, very talented and lovely actress, is 32 years old today. TV television host Michael Strahan. He's on television a bunch, that guy.
Yeah.
He used to play football, too.
Yep.
45 years old today. Singer Bjork.
With our fingers, we make million holes. We run and we fall into potholes.
Stop it. Used holes twice there,
she
Bjork.
She did.
Hey, how about a rhyme? How about, what could rhyme with holes? I don't know, about 400 words. She's a great artist, too. Oh, very underrated. Holy crap.
Bean does love her, too.
She said holes twice.
Yeah. But it did rhyme. In her defense, it rhymed.
Well, the same word
it's the same word.
The rhyme, yes. Lazy Icelandic troll. God, I hate her.
Well, that's all well and good, but what does Diplo think?
I don't know. I haven't looked into Diplo's response yet. This is all well and good, but what does Yoko think? Right?
Mm-hmm.
Yoko is an underestimated artist who should be estimated larger than she is.
What is going through the mind of Ronda Rousey right now?
And the WWE's Bella Twins, Nikki and Brie. Ah, the Bella Twins. You know, they're huge Philadelphia Eagles fans, the Bella Twins.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Well,
they're sad today. They are 33 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
LA Kings 2012. That's all I'm saying. 106.7 K-Rock is KRQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:07.
Sounds to me like that's not all you're saying then.
I mean, really, that's the song that we use for the entire season, and that represents the Stanley Cup 2012. I can go on if you'd like.
The sold-out K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas 2016 show, Saturday and Sunday, December 10th and 11th at the Forum, are now less than 3 weeks away, you guys, and we are giving away tickets this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show to you for both night. That means you get to see Blink 182 and Kings of Leon and Jimmy Eat World and AFI and Green Day and Beck and Weezer and Bastille and so much more. You understand what I'm saying here? Both nights.
Yeah, I think that's easy concept.
We don't say, hey, right. Do you want to go to night one? Oh, do you want to go to night two? We say, hey, you don't have to choose. You get both. And we're doing that with a brand new game that I think you're going to like so much. You don't even have to get through on the phones this time.
This is for everybody that says, I always get the busy signal. I can't get through.
That's right. We'll give you a chance to take your destiny in your own hands with a game that we like to call Lightning in a Bottle.
If you want tickets to see Acoustic Christmas on both days, it is lightning in a bottle. You got to find them in the right place. So there's just one thing.
There's no eating poop or anything like that involved. Lightning is a former producer here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Still works at K-Rock, has for years, behind the digital department at krock.com and whatnot. And he is literally on the streets of Southern California this morning in a bottle costume. Is that right, Lightning?
Yes. Thanks, dickheads.
Yeah. Explain to people what you look like, please.
This is how I make my return to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Well,
in a
look,
bottle costume on a street corner.
It was going to be a box. We planned for an hour. We planned lightning in a box, and then Bean said, "Hey, did anybody think of that saying lightning in a bottle?"
So then we had to find a bottle costume. So what did you end up wearing?
At least it's not freezing and raining. I am wearing like a six foot tall studs light beer bottle costume. It's bright green. It goes down past my knees, and I've got the. The bottle top on the above my head, mm-hmm. and it's made out of foam, and I look like a dork. And
you're welcome.
I'm standing. I'm not directly on a street corner, but you're going to have to find me. I think you've got some clues. The K-Rock street team dropped me off. They kicked me out of the van.
Sweet.
And just bailed.
I hope they didn't stop the van. I hope they just kept rolling. Slowed down.
It was a no parking zone. They kept rolling.
Yeah, like it.
This is you. Like, this is you. Get out. So I'm standing here. And they're going to get donuts, and I'm just chilling by myself.
Well, I mean, don't worry about it, because we're going to do the drawing at 9. So, I mean,
yes.
You've only got the 3 hours in
right.
the rain.
And that's an important point, Kevin. I'm glad you brought that up, because this is not a deal where you hear the clue, and then you go, oh, I think I know where that is, and you race down there at 100 miles an hour. There's no reason for that. Everybody who puts the clues together and finds lightning in a bottle this morning will be in the drawing that we'll do at 9 a.m., and then someone will win tickets. Now, these clues are kind of tough, by the way, but I think people will put them together. We're going to give a clue right now, and then another clue at 7 o'clock, and then the third clue at 8 o'clock. So the clue that we say now, you're the only people who are going to be hearing this. Am I right about that?
That's correct.
We're not repeating the clues. So
right.
You get the first clue now. People who are listening to the 7 o'clock hour will just get the second clue. People in the 8 o'clock hour will just get the third clue. And the more you hear, the more you can put them together, and the more you have an opportunity to find lightning in a bottle and claim your tickets for both nights. All right. Are we ready?
It is lightning in a bottle.
We are ready. Am I reading it or you?
I thought you were.
Okay, drum roll again. Drum roll again.
Get your freaking act together. Come on.
You got nothing but time there, Lightning. Don't worry about it.
We're new to this job, Lightning. Come on. We don't have all the details.
Clue number one.
All right, hold on. Now
start the drum roll again. Clue number one. Beware the Libyan terrorists.
I'm sorry. Wait. Again, please.
What?
Beware the Libyan... Drum roll. Beware the Libyan terrorists.
Yeah!
Beware the Libyan terrorists. Now, Lightning, you know where you are. Does that sound at all familiar to you?
I don't know what that means.
Sweet.
I mean, you have the location.
Beware the Libyan terrorists.
I don't know how that ties into where I am right now.
That's what people are supposed to find out, and the ones that do will be there for the drawing at 9 a.m. when you're dying of hypothermia.
I'm going to be here forever. This is going to suck.
All right. So is there anything we didn't cover here? I think we laid it all out there. So Lightning is in a location. That's the first clue. We'll have another one at 7, another one at 8. Put the clues together. Go to his location. If you're one of the people who's there at 9 o'clock, we'll do the drawing, and you'll win tickets to both nights of the sold-out K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas 2016. So Lightning, have fun out there on the street dressed as a bottle, man.
Oh, yeah. Just at least not freezing and raining on me.
Yeah, enjoy it.
Here I am.
Okay.
It is lightning in a bottle.
All right. So we're going to be doing that all morning long, and then at 9 we do the drawing.
Right now we have a little bit of time, I think, for So That Happened.
So do
we?
That happened.
I think we do. No. We don't need to.
I don't think we do.
Oh, it's a shame. I got some good stories. All right, I'll hold them.
It'll keep.
I'll hold them. We'll take a break, and we will be right back on the Kevin and Bean.
By the way, Shia LaBeouf on tomorrow morning's Kevin and Bean Show in
right?
studio with us.
In
Shia
studio.
LaBeouf.
Yeah.
And Kathy Bates on Wednesday, who's brilliant. That's going to be a lot
she
of fun.
She probably doesn't know what show she's on yet. That'll cancel.
How about Harvey Levin in the newsroom at TMZ.com? Hey, Harvey.
Morning, guys. Are you going to have Shia rap? Because he's amazing.
Yes, we are.
We probably
Good.
Will.
Good.
We'll have a wrap
he's,
off.
He's really amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Harvey, so much to talk to you about. We are definitely at a time in American history where politics and entertainment meet. And can we first talk about the hour-long Fox special you did on Friday night?
Sure.
How'd you get – when did you get so buff, Harvey? Jesus.
What are you talking
That's
about?
Been Harvey.
I mean, Harvey.
Harvey's been buff for years.
He was really buff on the show, though. I don't know. Maybe it was just a perfectly tailored suit, Harvey, but I'm telling you, you looked fantastic.
Well, you know, that's big men. What do they call it? Men big and tall. What do they call it? The warehouse?
Sure.
That's where I bought it.
All right. Bees is saying you look good.
Way,
just take a compliment,
a lie,
Harvey.
Such a lie.
Yeah, I'm sure. No, here's what I wanted to say about it. Because you, when we talked to you about it last week and you revealed that this special existed that you did the interview with the president-elect back in September at his home in New York, you said we were going to see him in a different light. And I guess we did because none of it was about politics. It was really
right.
getting
was
to know Donald Trump, the man himself, which I think we needed that at this point a little bit. And it's so interesting, Harvey, and I'm sure you've run into this a lot because you read the comments on TMZ, is that when we had you on last week and we talked about that, we heard from a lot of listeners who were furious that you were, quote-unquote, normalizing
right.
Mr. Trump.
Right.
That's a popular buzzword right now.
Yeah, I mean, I will say I was actually surprised after the show that there weren't more of those, that there were a lot of people who said, oh, you know what, I learned something about this guy. But
mm-hmm.
look, this is – we are in a time when – you demonize the people you are against.
Yeah, that's yes. what I hate about politics.
100%. And that's America now. I mean, that's just America
yeah.
on both
yeah.
sides. And, you know, and that's what has happened. I don't see it subsiding. I really don't.
I don't either.
I think that we're in for a really rough 4 years. And, look, there are a lot of people who are pissed off. And I think part of the reason they're pissed off is that there was no ramp-up time to accept it, that the media had so, you know, gone on a campaign against this guy, and that everything was wrong in terms of polling, in terms of acknowledgement of his base and everything else, that it literally went from, oh, by the way, I mean, look, we did some stories on Friday. We found out that there were inauguration parties already planned by Hillary Clinton.
I yeah.
mean, it was in the bag.
Yeah, sure.
So for people to see it in the bag and then have it disappear, you know, it's like whiplash. And
right.
I think a lot of people just could not handle it. And a lot of the fault there is that the media just did not cover this right.
I agree with you 100% on everything you said. And I also say there was, look, whether you were pro or against Mr. Trump, there was nothing in your special that was political. It was, hey, tell us about growing up. Tell us about when this event. Tell us about going to military school. Tell us about, you know, raising your kids. I mean, it was all that sort of thing. And I would think that, I mean, to me, it was refreshing to see a little bit about the man that had nothing to do with whether you agree with his politics or not.
Yeah, and for me, what I, look, he is a very headstrong, self-assured guy.
What?
And I wanted to see some vulnerability. I wanted to see, you know, one of the things I wanted to find out was why did his dad ship him off to military school for 5 years? That is a radical, radical thing to do.
Yeah, usually you're very badly behaved before you get to that point where your parents make you move out of the house.
For 5 years.
Yes.
And he acknowledged he was a discipline problem, and he told me about why. And it was funny because he said that he spoke way out of turn in school. That may be something he didn't lick.
Yeah, you think?
You know, but he you know, he talked about his fears that he might be an alcoholic and that he's an obsessive personality who might die the way his brother did at 42, his brother died at 42.
That was fascinating.
So he opened up about a lot of stuff that I think is interesting in understanding who he is today. And that was the whole point of this thing.
I agree. All right, last question, and then we'll move on to the other story that involves the VP-elect, Mike Pence. And that is, how gaudy is the Trump Tower where he lives in person? Because it looked hideous on TV.
Well, It's not my taste.
I've been in the building. I haven't been in his place like Harvey. I'm not good friends. But what I've been in the building, and it is all gold. I mean, it's 100% gold.
You know what you're getting.
There's
when you
nothing
look at the
not
front
gold.
Door.
Yeah,
you know
yeah,
what
yeah, true.
When you see
that's
the front
for
door
sure.
of that place, it is wow.
It is. He loves him some gold. But it was nice that you asked him if he was going to decorate the White House in that style, and he's like, no, the White House is perfect the way it is. It's the people's house. I mean, it was a very restrained, thoughtful answer for Donald.
Plus,
Trump,
he's not going to live there, so what does he care?
Yeah. Plus, he's going to stay in New York. It looks like. So, all right, let's cover the Mike Pence controversy. And once again, by the way, Mike Pence, I think, handled this thing beautifully, and Donald Trump just started shooting off his mouth because they ought to take his Twitter account away. What happened, Harvey?
Look, I mean, I really disagree with Trump on this one. And I also think I disagree with almost everyone on this one. I think everybody's heard the story by now that Mike Pence went to see Hamilton, and then the guy who plays Aaron Burr, true to form, shots fired.
He said, I'll just read it real quick for folks who didn't hear it. So this is the actor Brandon Dixon, who plays Vice President Aaron Burr. At the end of their performance, when they're out there taking their bows, he acknowledges that Mike Pence is in the crowd, and he says, thank you for coming. He says, we're the diverse...
Before you read it, he said, yes. Pence started to walk out, and he says, don't go, stay here.
Right, right.
And that's important.
Yes. We, sir, are the diverse America who are alarmed and anxious that your new administration will not protect us, our planet, our children, our parents, or defend us and uphold our inalienable rights. But, sir, but we truly hope this show has inspired you to uphold our American values and to work on behalf of all of us. All of us. That was his statement. In addition to asking the audience.
Then he challenged him to a duel.
He didn't do that.
Oh.
In addition to asking the audience to not boo Mike Pence, which I think is also an important part of the story. All right. You take it, Harvey.
Well, I mean, I think this guy has so got into character, he has forgotten he's not Aaron Burr. He's an actor.
Yeah, well, there's that.
and you know, when he came out this morning and he said, yeah, Lin-Manuel
Miranda right.
created it, and him, they wrote it together. And, you know, I mean, look, I mean, the guy paid money to go to a play, and I don't think it's a big deal. I do think that two things. One, Trump was wrong in saying, oh, I hear the play is related, I haven't seen it. That was, he didn't need to do that. I mean, look, if he thinks it was inappropriate, it's inappropriate. My big thing is this. They may have just Dixie-chicked themselves, because Hamilton is a great play, but at a point it's going to become like Cats. It's just going to be there a long time. Mm-hmm. And they're going to still need to get audience from the Midwest and all sorts of places. And they could end up, because of what they did, a lot of people may boycott the play the way they boycotted the Dixie Chicks, because they don't like what they did. And 6 years down the road, when they need to put butts in the seats, they may have a bigger problem with that because you know, at a point, it's a fantastic play. I mean, it's the best play I've ever seen. But, you know...
No, I hear what you're saying. And look, boycott Hamilton started on social media this weekend. I mean, there are already people who are saying that they're never going to go see that play because they thought it was disrespectful. And there also is a legitimate question.
I want to stop you. I don't think it's disrespectful. I think the word should be, is it inappropriate? It's not disrespectful to state your view, and nothing in that letter was disrespectful. The only issue for me is it the venue where somebody goes, where you tell them to stand up and stay, and I'm going to lecture you? It's an issue of whether it's appropriate. There was nothing disrespectful about the letter.
That has changed my complete opinion about Kanye West, is that he starts yelling stuff from the stage, and now I like his music. I'm not interested in seeing him live. Because he did that.
Well, and that's
sort of the same thing.
That's what you expect from Kanye. So, I don't know. I mean, Trump shouldn't bite the bait when stuff like this happens, because honestly,
Did you watch any of it of the last year and a half?
No, but he's president now.
Right.
And
yes.
It's like, here's the thing. At a point, he felt that the media was going to cost him the election. The reality is the media won him the election, and they're not going to change. I mean, they will never like him. And I think that what he should do is kind of acknowledge that and also realize that in many ways they work to his benefit. When
right.
they go overboard, they work to his benefit. And I think if he kind of looks at that and analyzes it, and he doesn't, you know, like, I hear it's overrated, even though I didn't see it. That's kind of what you say in high school.
Yeah.
And I know he did that stuff, but he won.
Oh, I agree.
It's time
to be the president. It's time to be the president and not spend your Saturday nights tweeting that Saturday Night Live isn't funny. That's not what we elected you for.
Can I interrupt you? You're wrong. I would like to hear every single show and what he thinks of it.
All right, Harvey. Well, listen, you did a great job of covering the Mike Pence thing on the site all weekend long. We appreciate you joining us, as always. Don't forget the wide variety of great TMZ TV shows throughout the day on Channel 11, including TMZ Live at 4, TMZ Sports News Monday through Friday at midnight on Fox Sports 1. And why not take the TMZ tour? It'd be fun for the holidays. You got people visiting from around the country. TMZ.com to buy your tickets. Have a great week, sir. Thanks for jumping on.
You too, guys. We'll see you.
Ralph Graham will be in here with the Showbiz Beat in a couple of minutes. And then after that, another clue so you can find lightning in a bottle and win tickets to both nights of the sold-out K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas 2016. Yes, he is out on the street, our man Lightning, in a bottle costume, looking to give you tickets to both nights. All the details coming up in minutes right here on K-Rock.
Time for the Afro Line, 323-520-AFRO. You can leave us a message 24 hours a day on any topic. I was not expecting, as it is not December yet, I was not expecting Santa Carl.
Oh,
Who apparently called.
Ho, ho, ho. This Santa Carl calling remind Dean and Kevin have all kind of making good turkey hotline call this year. Tradition can't break. Make have to do for all radio listeners. Okay. Kevin's Beans, don't. And Ralph Garmin's, don't. Don't forget. Make all kind of turkey hotline call. Butterball. Oh, okay. Santa Carl will be back next month.
All right. Yes to Santa Carl returning. Probably no to the Butterball turkey.
No, probably about it. No. How about an impression of me?
Hey, how many Kevins does it take to screw in a light bulb? Well, I don't know. I can't find it. I don't know where it is. It's in my pocket. My bad. That's on me. My bad.
That's pretty accurate.
Not bad, right?
So now that double December is not a thing, can we do reasonable C-cup Christmas?
By the way, thank you for bringing that up. I just want to remind everybody, although there is no more Miss Double December pageant, thank you to everybody who attended over the years. Thank you to the lovely ladies that we were honored to have represent the show year by year. But because we're not doing the live broadcast at the Slide Bar this year, we don't have the Toys for Tots opportunity for you. So we just want to put it out there to remind you, you can go to toysfortots.org. There are lots of different places and lots of different ways that you can donate. We don't want the charity to get the short shrift because we're not doing the pageant anymore, because they do a wonderful job. toysfortots.org. If you get a chance, check it out.
There's no more Miss Double December pageant?
Now it's time to say goodbye to all of the boobies. B-O-O. Boo! B-I-E. Boo!
Wow.
He took it pretty hard.
I'd like to suggest that boobies are not gone.
Yeah, boobies still exist in the world, man.
Heads up. Here's a podcast listener that's very satisfied.
What is going on? I'm listening to the podcast from yesterday, and you people sound insane. All of you. You sound insane.
Anything in particular?
I mean, really. And I don't even know what day it was, but I can support his point of view.
All right.
This is in reference to vegans. We were talking about vegans and can they date and does it cause problems in a relationship.
I used to date a vegan girl who was always about, oh, look how they treat the animals. It's all about how they treat the animals. But she had no problem with how I punished her beaver.
Okay. All right.
He's talking about animals. She had a beaver.
I see what you did there. Okay.
Every time Bean says the word big picture when referencing the presidency, I want to climb through the radio and smack him in the face.
Wouldn't that be cool if that technology existed?
Sure.
That'd be cool so for awesome. You.
Wouldn't be much fun for me.
Hi, Kevin and Bean. You guys are great. I hope you didn't have to work so hard at home. When you get home, have a nice dinner with dinner on it.
Ha ha ha!
Okay, what just happened? I was so enjoying that little kid until we got to the doo-doo part.
I think that was a voice changer app.
I hope so.
Yeah, from the same guy that would put doo-doo in every single call that he would make. Yeah.
Today, I'm going to be baptized into the Zero Club. Now, I'm going to attempt in the 35 miles on the tank. I am nervous and thrilled. 35 miles on the tank from Azusa all the way to Orange, California. Zero Club, baby! I'll go ahead and call back with the update. Let's see what happens.
All right, so we called back.
Man, I gotta say, traffic really sucks. I'm sitting in my car, 0 miles to the tank. Yeah, I've been waiting here for like 2 minutes. So I'm just waiting to get out, step inside my house, grab a beer, and then I'm free, baby! Here we go! Yeah! Here we go! Oh yeah! Oh yeah! Here we go! Zero Club for life!
You made it. He made it.
He made it, everybody.
So your advice is to go ahead and run your car down to essentially out of gas and then just keep driving, right,
I'm
Kevin?
Saying that's no way to live life.
Really?
That's my point.
Well, it seems like you've started a movement in this country.
But welcome to the Zero Club. 106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:52.
It is Monday morning, and as Kevin mentioned, it's about that time in the hour when Ralph Garman steps in with the Showbiz Beat here on the Kevin and Bean Show. What's going on?
Well, it's a Monday, so we always look at the top 10 movies at the box office on a Monday morning, see what people went to see in the theaters over the weekend. Everybody, it turns out, went to see Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them. I think this Harry Potter franchise has a future. I think people are interested
in
this.
Really?
World. Yeah.
I don't know. It's kids doing magic, though. That's kind of dumb, right?
I think they've tapped into something.
This one, not so many kids. This one, adults doing magic.
Kevin, did you see it?
I did.
How was it?
I loved it.
Yeah?
Did I get every nuance?
You understood it all, I bet. Every bit.
I was addressing that. Did I get every nuance? No, I did not. I may have to go see it again.
No, you got it.
But I loved it.
Of course.
He sure can fit a lot into that suitcase.
He sure can.
Well, they're fantastic. It's not regular. $75 million made it number one by far. The next closest film was Doctor Strange with $17.7 million. To give you an idea how lopsided the box office was this weekend, Trolls, Arrival, and Almost Christmas rounded out the rest of the top five. Hacksaw Ridge, The Edge of 17, and its debut came in number seven with $4.8 million. Then another new film, Bleed for This, starring the Miles Man, debuted with $2.4 million. The Accountant and Shut In were your top 10 films at the box office. Congratulations to all the big winners at the AMAs last night. Drake won 4 American Music Awards out of the 13 he was nominated for, including all 3 rap and hip-hop categories. Ariana Grande? Took home Artist of the Year. Is she overrated or underrated, Bean, in terms of being an artist?
I think she's an acquired taste. I think there are a lot of people who have A lot of people have no time for her songs, and there are other people who adore her. So I think she's getting about the right amount of love.
But Carly Rae Jepsen is an underrated superstar.
She's a fantastic artist.
Should be a much bigger star than she is, based on the quality of her material, yes.
All right.
Ariana Grande is getting about what she deserves.
I've heard everything I need to from him.
Listener Edwin sent me an email, by the way. He said, please do a contest where listeners have to guess if Bean thinks an artist is underrated or overrated.
That's a good idea.
Can you imagine? He wrote in the email.
Ariana Grande is successful and popular and has big
and
hit
is
records.
Brilliant. Her voice is amazing.
Yeah, she's very good. I'm saying she's not underrated. She's about right.
But you think Carly Jepsen should be getting the same level as her?
She is. She doesn't have that kind of voice.
No, not that
you said
kind
she was
of
a
voice.
Fantastic
you mean a, you mean
artist.
A good one?
She has a great voice, but she's not Ariana Grande. Look,
no,
I'm just saying.
We've already looked. We've done looking. We're averting our eyes now. X1 Direction member Zayn won Best New Artist. Really? Is he really a new artist if he was in One Direction? Stop it, AMAs. Of course, the highlight for many was the Green Day performance on the AMAs on Sunday night, performing their new single, Bang Bang. And it led Billy Joe, who sometimes can be, I don't know, quiet about his political bent.
Sure.
He likes to keep it on the down low. He modified the lyrics to express his opinion about our president-elect Donald Trump. Here's a little clip from that performance. Let's go. Don't take KK, no questions, USA.
received.
It's got a good beat. You can dance to it.
I actually like that song.
Yeah, I like that song too. Bieber in the news. Look, Kevin can relate. Everyone misplaces their keys or their phones every so often, right?
Right? That happens occasionally, once a week.
Their key card to get into the building.
Right.
A light bulb or two.
Occasionally.
Sometimes you misplace things.
Right.
I think only Justin Bieber ever could manage to lose a $250,000 Ferrari.
I'm sorry? Get where he parked it?
Apparently. Biebs left a Ferrari with a valet outside the Montage Hotel in Beverly Hills 3 weeks ago.
What? And then what? Just hopped in someone else's car to leave the club?
Then apparently
he
forgot where it went.
That's awesome.
Luckily, his trusty assistant was able to track down the vehicle. A representative says it's not unusual for celebrities to leave their pricey rides between stays. And assumed that's what Bieber had done. He figured he would be back for it eventually.
Wow.
But kind of lost track of where the Ferrari was. You know how it is when you lose your Ferrari.
When that happens.
Sure. Kevin's jumped into other people's Ferraris at valets and taken off or taken for a
spin. I mean, technically, they were given to me by the valet.
You stole a car.
So by law, I have to get in and drive it off.
I don't believe that's
the law. I think that's the law. I'm pretty sure.
I'm not a lawyer.
I did a deep dive on that over the weekend, Ralph.
You should have asked Harvey Levin when we had him on the phone.
Speaking of car parking, have you ever... Is this just happened to me or does this happen to you too? Have you ever spent 15, 20 minutes looking for your car and have gotten to the point where you're convinced it was stolen rather than just realize that you can't remember where you parked it? Has that ever happened to you guys?
No, I always assume it's me.
Yeah, it's happened to me too. A couple of times it's happened to me where that's it. I know that's where I parked it.
No.
It's not there, so it must have been stolen.
No, I don't
now
have that
what?
Kind of confidence in my ability to find my own car. I do. Like Ralph,
I'm looking around, if it's a parking lot especially, I'm just a dumbass.
Right,
I don't know where I'm at. Yeah,
I do. I certainly feel like a dumbass in that case, that's for sure.
But you think it's stolen.
Well,
you can't imagine you could not know where it is.
A couple of times it has happened to me where I've spent so much time looking, I go, all right, maybe I forgot exactly where it was, but I'm in the ballpark. I'm in the vicinity of where it is. And then when it's still not there, then it starts to creep into my mind, and then another 10 minutes after that, I'm convinced it's been stolen.
Mm. How many times has that happened?
I think it's probably happened twice over my life.
Last week,
probably. But it's not a good feeling.
Yeah.
No, it does shake you.
So it's not you're saying it's not a good feeling?
Not a good feeling.
That your car has been stolen.
So was it stolen?
No,
of course
stolen.
Well, then,
no, but you...
Then it's you. Then you should... Then
yes!
After the first time that happens, the second time when that's creeping in your head, you go, well, that's just ridiculous.
But you're so sure of where you parked it, though.
Who's
you're
that
so
sure?
Who is that sure? That, I think, is the question, Kevin, that needs to be answered. And I think the answer is all there for us all to see right there. There it is.
Right.
Right. Today's celebrity birthdays, Carly Rae Jepsen. She's
I just met you.
She's underrated. Listen to that. She should be the biggest star in the world.
Thank you, Ralph.
Because she wrote a pop song.
Finally.
She could be a theme song for a Nick Jr. show.
She's a fantastic artist.
Stand by that.
Man, you blow hot or cold, son.
Right?
You only have two temperatures.
She can't be a really good artist.
No, she's great. She's great.
Fantastic was the word.
Jenna Malone is 32 years old today. WWE's Bella Twins, Nikki and Brie, are 33 years old today. Michael Strahan, former NFL star, of course, now TV host, 45 years old. Singer Bjork is 51.
Welcome to Iceland. There is no sunlight.
There's your Bjork.
That's mildly funny, so I'm guessing that's a spoof, a parody.
Yeah, is that someone doing Bjork?
No, that's her. I think she might have been on SNL or something. I don't remember.
Oh, okay. So she was being funny. Because normally her music is not exactly funny.
She's the worst.
It's high quality, though, and she's a fantastic artist.
No, she's the worst.
Right, I agree with you.
She's overrated. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Just announced first thing this morning when we came on the air, we are giving away tickets to both nights of the sold-out K-Rock Almost Tuesday Christmas 2016, Saturday and Sunday, December 10th and 11th at the Forum. And we're doing it in a way that you don't have to try to get through. We hear from so many people. Kevin, you've seen the screen caps they send us. They've called K-Rock 200 times trying to get through, and they always get a busy signal.
Yep.
So we're giving you an opportunity to earn them in person this morning with a game that we like to call Lightning in a Bottle.
If you want tickets to see Acoustic Christmas on both days, it is lightning in a bottle.
and I'm in the right place. So there's just one thing to do. It will all depend on you. Find lightning in a bottle. He might try and make you eat poo.
Everybody say hey. Oh. Everybody scream.
He is so happy right now, isn't he?
He really is. Well, when we talked to him last hour, he was like, guys, it's Monday, it's cold, it's raining, and you have me dressed in a bottle outfit.
It is lightning in a bottle.
So we gave away one clue last hour. We're doing another one now, and then a third and final clue just after 8 a.m. Put the clues together. Go to Lightning's location. Everybody that is there at 9 a.m. will be in the drawing to win tickets for both nights of the K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas 2016. In other words, there's no race to get there. Don't go 100 miles an hour to get there because you don't have to be first. Just be there by 9 a.m. at his location, and you could win the tickets. All right, we gave the first clue an hour ago. We won't repeat that, but we are going to give you another clue right now. Kevin?
The most active volcano in Mexico. The most active volcano in Mexico.
All right, got it.
That's your clue.
It is lightning in a bottle.
For tickets grand for prize, both nights. Yes, grand prize drawing just after 9 o'clock. All right, Andrew Siciliano joins us later on this hour, too, to recap Week 11 of the NFL. Right now, though, I am very excited that we had Ralph did a story for us last week about Bruce Springsteen. You know, he's got that new autobiography out called Born to Run, which I totally recommend if you like Bruce like I do. It's a terrific book. It's been a New York Times bestseller for several weeks. But he told us that they announced last week that he is going to be doing a version where he reads the book to you, an audiobook, an 18-hour audiobook of Bruce Springsteen narrating his life story. And we wanted to find out more about that, so we asked him if there's any way we could get the boss back on the show. He's always been good to come on with us in the past. Hey, Bruce, how are you, man?
Hey, guys, how you doing?
Very good.
Well, we're doing fine. First of all, congratulations on the success of your book. I know it took you many, many years to write. You must be so gratified to see how well it's been received.
Yeah, you know, as a guy who, started out in rock and roll, and you never think you're going to be an author. You know,
right?
I always wrote my stories 3 minutes at a time coming up, and so to put together a book, first of all, that I debated for a long time whether to even write it or not, because talking about myself isn't necessarily the place I'm most comfortable.
Right.
So writing a book about my life was a decision that was hard to make, and it's really gratifying that people seem to be responding to it so much.
Now, Bean read the book in 6 hours, but the audio version that you've done is 16 hours.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a little longer to hear me read than it would if you read it yourself.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Probably because I had a lot of musical elements to the recording when I read
The
book on tape. So I got my guitar with me, and there are moments while I'm telling the story that I'll throw in a little music there to give you an idea exactly what was happening when some of this stuff happened.
Oh, that's fantastic. It's like sitting in a room with you listening to tell your life story. We haven't heard any of it. Are there any clips or anything that are being released so we can get an idea what it sounds like?
Yeah, we're putting it together now. We're putting the final touches on now. I'm in the studio as we speak.
Oh, great.
If you want, I could just... hold the phone up to the speaker, I guess. You guys could hear some of what's happening.
Whatever. Oh, that would be a real treat,
sure,
Bruce. Thank you.
Here we go. You know, of all the clubs in Jersey where I got my start, there were many of them. The Fast Lane on 4th Avenue. Spent a lot of time at Clarence's Club, the Big Man's West in Red Bank. But I think 913 Ocean Avenue has to be the most important location for me. The Stone Pony, club where I got my start all those years ago. I remember my first performance at the Stone Pony was on September 8th, 1974, when I jammed with a band called the Blackberry Booze Band. It was headed by two guys named Steve Van Zandt and Southside Johnny. That band would later become Southside Johnny and the Asbury Jukes.
Wow.
They got their start at the Pony as well. I jammed with the band, and afterwards, I met a guy who changed my life. His name was Danny.
Okay.
Danny had problems with his car. It was parked in the back alley, and he asked me if I could help him. So I went in the back, and Danny and I started talking cars. I loved cars, and so did he. His car was beautiful. It was a souped-up GTO.
I don't feel like we need all these.
Never seen anything like it before.
Details.
I knew
That car had to be mine.
Uh-oh.
And Danny had the hood up. He was looking underneath it, saying something was wrong with the distributor cap. That's when I saw my opportunity to slam that car hood down his skull.
What?
I smashed his head inside that engine block.
Why would you do that?
The brain splattered all over the radiator and all over the engine.
Bruce.
Luckily, there was a bucket of water near the backstage there at the Stone Pony that had been used for people to ash cigarettes in. And I took that bucket of water and I washed the brains off the engine.
Wow.
Before I took his dead corpse and threw it in the back of the car. I stole that car and I took it for a long ride out to the swamps of Jersey where I found a bog and I tied a cinder block to his chest. Turned out Danny wasn't quite dead yet.
What? You smashed his brains in the engine.
This is a recording. I'm not talking to you.
Oh, sorry.
You can't really respond to it.
My bad.
This is a book on tape.
And why does your song keep repeating like it does?
That's the background music.
Okay.
To the book on tape.
Gotcha.
You cannot respond to or talk to.
So don't talk to
me. Okay, gotcha.
My bad. Playing a clip now.
Okay, my bad.
I heard Danny gurgle, help, as he started to slip beneath the slimy surface of that swamp. And for a moment, I felt bad. So I turned around and looked at that sweet-ass GTO. And I hopped in, and I realized Danny's girlfriend was unconscious in the back seat.
What?
No.
She had had a few too many drinks. So I decided, well, I took his car. Why not take his woman? That's when I climbed in the back seat.
I don't.
That's about it, guys. No.
All right. We're out of time anyway. Thank you, Bruce. Andrew Siciliano recaps week 11 of the NFL from the NFL Network coming up in about 15 minutes. And then next hour, we're going to be talking to you, and you're going to be talking to me about made-up childhood names. Apparently it was a thing, Kevin, that a lot of us did.
Yeah, I didn't. Until I was older.
Anyway, that's all coming up here on K-Rock.
Let's do...
So that happened.
Shall we?
Fantastic, yes.
Did you see the story of the Canadian Parliament that was debating a controversial use of the word fart?
Well, some people do not think that that is a word for polite company.
Right. So there was a debate in Parliament surrounding the implementation of carbon tax in the House of Commons. And in the midst of an impassioned speech about the tax's impact on her constituents, Michelle Rempel posed the question, why does the government treat Alberta like a fart in the room that nobody wants to talk about or acknowledge? At which point, Green MP Elizabeth May replied, I hate to interrupt my friend in her speech, but I just heard her say a word that I know is distinctly unparliamentary. And they went on for about an hour to debate if it's okay or not to use the word fart. That happened.
Yes.
So what's going
Apparently
on?
Canada has solved all other problems, by the way.
What's going on in our country, you know about. Canada's having a rough time with the word fart.
So that happened.
Here's one from Ohio. Prostitute arrested after meeting up with an undercover police officer. Crystal Hotslots is her name.
Wait a minute. Hold on.
Hotslots?
Yep. That's her stage name.
Crystal
Hotslots. That's not her real name, right?
Allegedly placed an ad on an escort website with an hourly rate of $160 per hour. Bean, what's that? Is that normal?
It seems a little high for me, okay. But maybe she's offering some special services.
Her profile described her as a BBW goddess who is, quote, thicker than a Snickers. So an undercover police contacted her, and they did a little bit of negotiating, and she ended up agreeing to $50 and some nachos. As long as he threw in nachos. She was fine with it.
That just sounds like good negotiating to me.
A detective arranged to meet her at Los Gallos Mexican Restaurant in Beaver Township, Ohio. They met, and she was arrested. Now,
oh, don't arrest the girl. She just wanted some nachos.
She wants some nachos in a bad way.
So that happened.
And this one, you're not going to believe this one, Bean, because there are too many like this. However, I read this story. I saw the video that's attached to this story.
Mm-hmm.
And I checked Snopes.
All right.
Cheating groom caught out as secret lover turns up to his wedding in same dress as horrified bride.
Wait a second. Hold on. Say that sentence again, please.
A guy was getting married. His bride had her wedding dress on.
Mm-hmm.
The other girl that he was cheating with showed up at the wedding ceremony wearing the same dress.
His mistress
yes.
showed up in a wedding dress at his wedding.
Yes.
This is fantastic.
Shouting and screaming can be heard, and at one stage, the woman grabs the mic and speaks to the audience in the local dialect, explaining that the groom is a cheater, and a fight erupted at the wedding.
The greatest wedding
ever!
Right?
The greatest wedding ever. Here's some audio from the greatest wedding ever. There's like chairs flying through. Pretty much everybody there was fighting everybody else. All right, now calm things down. Don't forget that, it's on. And that goes on for about another minute. Right? All I'm saying is if more weddings went like that, I would love to go.
So that happened.
All right, Kevin, you ready to be red, see red?
Woo!
Yeah. Our friend Andrew Siciliano is the host of Up to the Minute on the NFL Network and DirecTV's Red Zone channel every Sunday. Andrew, how are you, sir?
I'm okay. Good morning, guys. How are you?
Great to have you on. I was following with great interest the number of extra points that were missed yesterday, and it was, you know, it was a half a dozen, then it was 8, and then it was 10, and then they started getting into record territory. It was 11, and now it had been the most since any day since 1966, and it ended up being 12 missed after points, which is an all-time NFL record for one day, right?
And you can tell your friends and family where you were yesterday.
But Andrew,
it is a piece of history.
I was
on Sesame Street.
I was wondering this yesterday, though. How do you compare that to the PATs that were so much closer for all those years?
What do you mean? How do you compare?
Doesn't it make a difference?
I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
Well, I think these
are a lot harder than it used to be.
Of course, I think what we're going to have to do today is go back and look at Week 2, 1985, where there were 10. And go back and look at 66, whatever, and just go, what in the heck happened those days?
That's what I was wondering about 1966. Yeah. Like, why would 11 have missed from the old distance, which
was
closer?
Or 85, when you actually had the soccer-style decent kickers and not the 60s where you had these straight-on guys kicking literally with their big toe.
Right.
Right? We all looked at each other yesterday and said, was there a hurricane week 2 of 85 on the East Coast? I'm not even kidding. Like, what was every game played in a flood? I have no idea. All I know is that some people think it's fantastic because it legitimately puts pressure on every single player on the field and that nothing is automatic. And some people think that it's awful because a touchdown should be worth 7, and they're bad at math, and they can't figure out what to do when they don't go.
I think it's fantastic because that used to just be a given, and so it was a boring part of the game. Oh, yeah, they're going to kick the PAT, and they're going to make it, and then we'll move on. Something you just sort of had to wait for.
I think it's also, you know, I was talking to a buddy, Jay Feely, who kicked in the league for years. You know, there's a lot of work for CBS as an analyst, and he thinks it's like a group think thing where when one guy misses, and this is maybe say early in the week or even in previous weeks, it builds up, and that all the other kickers, they have
really?
Like one giant brain, and he's only half kidding on this, and that they start thinking, well, if my buddy who's really good missed this, then I really got to focus on this, and that it just spirals out of control, which sounds good, and he's a kicker and he would know. However, yesterday on the East Coast, especially New York or Washington, in Cleveland they had weather. There were really high winds and there was some questionable weather, so that had to factor.
It had to, yeah. And there was rain up and down. All the games on the West Coast were during rain.
Right.
Let me ask you
right.
this, because are there more blocks now? Is the defense becoming more creative in ways to block? Because that's what happened to my Stephen Hauschka in Seattle. That's what happened in Minnesota. I mean, it seems like we're seeing a lot of those, too.
There were like 3 or 4 blocks yesterday also. But these were not like what we saw last week in New Orleans with somebody jumping over the center and blocking it in the new school way of blocking
right.
it.
Right, yes, exactly. Which is jumping head. Over the center,
which
right.
is hilarious.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Well, it certainly was interesting. And like you said, history was made. All right, let's move on. It's the date that many Rams fans have been waiting for. Yesterday, the number one overall pick, Jared Goff, finally gets to play quarterback. He did not have a great first outing, right?
No, but they still should have one.
Yeah, agreed.
They had that game.
And it was the Dolphins.
It was.
Well, they were shutting them out until what? Almost 56 minutes into the game, right?
They were dominating that game defensively. Here's the thing that's frustrating about that game. I think Jared completed 7 or 8 passes, something like that. He looked really good on the second drive where they marched down the field and Todd Gurley had the 24-yard touchdown. They didn't really let him take many shots or stretch the field. The Rams will tell you that that's because the Dolphins' defensive front, which is a very good one, was putting so much pressure on them, and they just said, hey, throw it short, get the ball out quickly, don't stand in the pocket, don't let that rush get to you, and it was more reacting to what the Dolphins were doing as opposed to game plan. I still would have liked to have seen a couple of extra shots down the field, let the kid throw the ball, that's why he's in there. Mm-hmm. It was.
So you think they were sort of taking it easy on him so that he didn't have a terrible outing?
No, I just don't think they... You know when you get a brand new car and they tell you, hey, don't open it up for a while?
Right,
you
know, right.
Like keep it
put 300 miles on it before you start going 80.
Exactly.
Right.
Before you really gun it and try to get a ticket.
I always feel like they're lying to me and I go fast right away.
I do as well.
Okay.
I think that's what it was, and it's frustrating and disappointing because that was a game you had to win because now you go on the road to New Orleans, right? And then you come back home, you play the King of Mexico's Falcons. And then you – oh, no, no, no. Then you get Tom Brady in New England. Then you get the Falcons. Mm. Then you get the Seahawks on the road. It is not a friendly spread.
But let me ask you this question. Are people being way too hard on him? I mean, it was his first outing. Okay, so he didn't do – you know.
Well, then
didn't win
be
the
more
game.
Like Dak Prescott.
Fine, but I'm saying he may be. You give him a couple of weeks at least, don't you?
Yes. First of all, I am not hard on Jared.
I'd give him the rest of the season and just say let's
–
Okay, good.
Oh, I think he's getting the rest of the season.
Right.
I don't think it.
I wish they would have let him do more.
Right.
The Rams probably don't make the playoffs this year, right, Andrew?
They would have to. They'd have to put together a pretty fantastic run. They're
you don't have to be
a way out of it.
It doesn't mean that you're a bad team just because you don't make the playoffs.
It says Kevin,
right?
Arizona Cardinals fan.
I mean, the Cardinals can still make the playoffs. But
sure.
They, like the Rams would have to go on a pretty ridiculous run right now. It's not in any way out of the realm of possibility. The Dolphins were dead and washed up on the beach a couple of weeks ago, and now they've won 5 in a row.
Five in a row.
Do it. It's Thanksgiving week. So if you're going to do it, time to kick it in.
Yeah.
We're talking to our friend Andrew Siciliano, host of Up to the Men on the NFL Network, Monday through Friday at 1 and DirecTV's Red Zone channel. Hey, I started seeing all the promos last night for the Thanksgiving games. Do Detroit and Dallas like playing on Thanksgiving, or is it just something they know they're going to have to do and they just have to suck it up?
I think they've done it for so long that it's part of who they are. It's their identity, and mm-hmm. it's tradition. By now, they're playing at home. So it's not as if they have to get on a plane. The really rough part of Thursday night games, regardless of whether or not it's Thanksgiving, although Thanksgiving is worse, are the road teams.
Yeah.
I mean, teams that have to get on a plane, because so you play Sunday night, you come in Monday morning, you are beaten up. First of all, the coaches probably don't even go home. They go right back to the office on Sunday night to get ready for Thursday's game. Players come in Monday, hardly do anything because it's a recovery day. Tuesday, you have a light practice, or maybe Tuesday's your big practice. Wednesday, you maybe just do a walkthrough and sweat, and then you get on a plane. And then you play again on Thursday. I mean, the work week is pretty much non-existent. It's always better to be the home team, especially when it's Thanksgiving, when you got family at home, when you can just go home after that game and see your family as opposed to getting back on a plane.
Yeah. Yeah, it doesn't seem like very much fun, that's for sure. All right, Andrew, we're almost out of time here. Any other takeaways? The only other game that I was going to mention just briefly if we had time was just the surprising Tampa Bay over Kansas City. I don't think anybody picked that in their office pool, did they?
No one saw that coming. The Chiefs had won 10 straight games at home. They'd won 17 of 19 overall. And I hate to tell Dave, but the Bucs are now breathing down the Falcons' necks.
Yep, starting to get pretty competitive in the South.
South. Exactly. And by the way, the Seahawks are the best team in the NFC, not named the Cowboys. And you realize that right now, the NFC Championship game would be potentially Seattle at Dallas. And just hypothetically, you know, you could have like backup quarterback Tony Romo as the holder, and it could come down to a kick.
That would be awesome.
Wouldn't that be awesome?
That really would. You get to go in one play, but you're a holder.
Right. And for fans who don't know their history, look up Tony Romo holder. Seahawks-Cowboys playoffs.
All right, little homework for you after Andrew's segment That's today. Homework. We'll look for you on the TV this afternoon. Always a pleasure, sir. Thanks for jumping on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Yes, sir. Happy Thanksgiving, guys.
You too. Yep, Lightning's just out there standing there in that suit.
In the rain.
In the rain, just standing
waiting
there.
For
in
people
that...
to come on by.
Yep. Talking about lightning in a bottle, our man out on the street waiting for you to stop by at 9 o'clock this morning. A grand prize drawing of everybody who's down there who put the clues together to find out where he is this morning and wins tickets to both nights of the Sold Out K-Rock Almost Tuesday Christmas 2016 shows. We got the third and final clue coming up right after the top of the hour. Hey, Ralph Garman.
Hi, Ailey.
What's going on with the Showbiz Feed here on a Monday?
Well, there was a memorial at Adam Yauch Park in Brooklyn, New York over the weekend. You may remember it was... defaced last week with swastikas and Go Trump graffiti.
Swastikas are really making a comeback in this country, by the way. Yeah. I mean, you've seen a lot of news stories where people have sprayed them on things.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, we have. The park, of course, was named for the late Beastie Boy. And two other guys showed up to join the protest, including Ad Rock. Adam Horvitz was there. Spoke at an anti-hate rally inside the park yesterday. And he said, I'm assuming we're all here today because we're thinking the same thing. Spray painting swastikas at children's playground is a messed up thing to do. Adam went on to talk about other hate crimes and hate speech that have happened post-election here in the United States. And it was a cry for, well, standing up to the bullies and the swastikas and the like. And it was pretty emotional, especially for a lot of Beastie Boys fans. So nice to see that the Beastie Boys are still fighting a good fight. Katie Holmes and Jamie Foxx, you know, that relationship has been in the shadows for some time. Then there was rumors that they had split up. Well, now rumors are going the other way, saying that they are back together again. After calling it quits last month, they've reconciled and that the friends for both are positively thrilled because they think they've got a real chance together. I do, too, as long as they never talk about it publicly. Keep it hidden in a secret. Secret. Gwyneth Paltrow's annual Goop Holiday Gift Guide is here.
Oh, is it that time of year already?
It is. It's very time exciting. For you to be like Gwyneth, just a regular gal who likes just the little things in life that make her happy around the holidays. Goop Holiday Gift Guide is every bit as absurd and ridiculous as ever.
Am I going to have to dig deep again this year to buy anything on the list?
You may have to.
Only for multimillionaires, right?
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Although Gwyneth loves to position herself as a woman of the people.
She does. She's wrong.
Hollywood Reporter says that this year's recommendations include the $510 boobs necklace or the $370 butt necklace designed by a woman named Anissa Kamershi.
Okay.
It's a necklace with boobs or butt on it.
And that's for the holidays?
For the holidays.
Okay.
You can get the a infrared sauna in your home for the low price of $3,000 if you'd like to get that for someone you love.
Now, okay.
Explain, if you know, Ralph, what's the advantage of being in an infrared sauna?
Well.
What does that do for you?
People can see you at night.
I see. Okay.
I don't think that's how they would.
That's how infrared works, Kevin.
Okay.
I've
right.
seen a lot of spy movies, and you can detect body temperatures. No, it's just, it's uses light instead of hot rocks in terms of warming your body and giving you the heat treatment.
You going to get it now, Bean?
Well, $3,000 is a little rich for my blood, but okay.
Have you ever seen the warming lamps, like in a hotel
bathroom? Sure.
You flip that switch and that infrared red light comes on. It's that kind of thing.
Oh, I like those. I may get it.
You're not going to get it.
Yeah, for $3,000, you're getting it.
Bean won't spend $300 on Christmas total.
Right. Bean's going to get a red light bulb and screw it into a lamp and hold his hands over it in a dark room.
Convince himself he's warm.
For 25 cents. You can get yourself
Then he'll return it right, right after Christmas.
It didn't work to my liking. You can get an $8,300 yurt if you're looking for a yurt.
And that's like a little tent or something,
It
right?
is. It's like a little lean-to, a little
How
tent.
Much is that tent?
Just $8,300. Okay. But it's one of the finest yurts you can get.
I hope so.
Wow, Gwyneth just has something for everybody on this year's list.
This year, give till it yurts. For the holiday season.
And, of course, the favorite, the one everyone, I think, can agree on, this is the purchase. It's the $3,000 leather bicycle that you can pick up thanks to her website.
What are you talking about?
You want a leather bicycle? Everybody does. Don't you?
I mean, no.
Oh. Well, then,
I don't see the advantage.
Never even heard
of
it. Apparently, Gwyneth Paltrow's radar is all off then. She doesn't have her finger on the pulse of America.
Why would you want your bike to be made out of leather?
Because, and you can pretend it's a horse.
Oh. Right.
Monday morning, we look at the top 10 movies at the box office. No surprise here. Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them. Number one at the box office. $75 million made it. Number one by far. The rest paled in comparison. Doctor Strange, for example, was number two, but just $17.7 million. Then Trolls, Arrival, Almost Christmas, Hacksaw Ridge. Only two other new films on the top 10 list came in at 7 and 8. Edge of 17 debuted with $4.8 million. And Bleed for This, the Tasmanian Devil movie, $2.4 million at number 8. The Accountant and Shut-In were the rest of the top 10 films at the box office. Today's celebrity birthdays. Bjork is 51.
With our fingers, we make a million holes. We run and we fall into potholes.
Holes rhymes with holes in Iceland.
Oh, how is she still alive?
How is she still singing, I think is what you mean.
That's what I meant to say.
How right.
How is she still singing? Don't they have bears or something in Iceland? Can't something eat her? When she's dressed as a swan, can't a polar bear assume she's a real swan?
I mean, you would think.
Just take a bite. The swan tastes funny, the bear would say to himself.
In English.
TV host Michael Strahan's 45 years old. The Bella Twins, you love them from the WWE. Nikki and Brie, they're 33 today. Jenna Malone is 32. Carly Rae Jepsen is 31.
Hey, I just met you.
Underrated.
Damn right.
Underrated. She's not underrated. She's rated just fine, B. She's just where she belongs.
She should be a massive pop star. She's had several hits. She's had, I think, five top 40 hits.
Just what she's deserved.
She's
fine.
He said she's a fantastic artist. I'm telling you.
Artist.
Open up a blog, you guys.
And Rosa G. Our friend Rosa G.
Celebrates
her birthday today. Yay. Dave just jotted this down in barely legible pen. I can't really read her real name here.
May I play a little Rosa G for
you? There's no age. There's no age. So
okay. Good. But he's doing good work. A lot of good information.
He's doing good work.
Uh-huh.
Rosa G is celebrating a birthday, and we had her Thanksgiving song lined up. Little celebration.
Thanks. Give some thanks. Thanksgiving is the best, so I gotta give some thanks. Thanks, give some thanks. Thanksgiving is the day that I gotta give some thanks.
Yeah.
Underrated, tremendous
right?
artist.
Completely
underrated.
She's just as talented as Carly Rae Jepsen, I agree. I'm Ralph Garman, I walk the showbiz beat.
At 6 o'clock we gave the first clue, at 7 o'clock the second, and now we're about to give the third and final clue to help you find our man Lightning in a Bottle.
If you want tickets to see Acoustic Christmas on both days, it is Lightning in a Bottle. You gotta find him in the right place. So there's just one thing to do. It will all depend on you. Find Lightning in a Bottle. He might try and make you eat poo.
Everybody say hey. Oh. Everybody scream.
I have been assured no eating poop is going to be necessary at all today, but if you are in front of Lightning in a Bottle somewhere in Southern California at 9 o'clock this morning, you'll be in a drawing along with everybody else who found him today, and you might win tickets for both nights of the sold-out K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas 2016. All right, Kevin, the third and final clue as to where Lightning is. Go ahead.
A 49ers halfback when I Love Lucy premiered on TV.
All right, that's just word salad. I'm sorry. I'm going to need that again, please.
A 49ers halfback when I Love Lucy premiered on TV.
All right, I hope that makes sense to somebody. Get your Google on. Figure out where Lightning is. Head on down there. No rush. 9 o'clock, we'll do the grand prize drawing. That is coming up. Someone's going to win tickets to both nights.
Why is Stephen Hawking such a bummer? What's up with that guy, the theoretical physicist? He does nothing but tell us that the world's going to end.
I think he is sharing the hard truths with us. Look, people want to think that everything's fine, but he's smarter than we are.
He's such a downer.
He sees things that we don't, and he is in the news once again talking about how, at some point, humanity is going to go extinct on Earth, right? He's saying, at some point, it's going to be okay because we're going to have spread out throughout the galaxy. We're going to be living on other planets. So it's not like the human race will be extinct, but we won't be able to live on Earth anymore. Why? I'm not sure what he thinks is going to end Earth, but we have a pretty good relationship with Dr. Hawking, and he joins us back on the phone on K-Rock right now. Hey, Stephen, how are you, sir?
Good morning, Kevin and Bean.
You're kind of a bummer.
Bite me.
Okay.
I am only telling you the truth. If you choose to ignore it, it is at your own peril.
Okay. Now, this news has surprised a lot of people because, you know, they feel like we've got a pretty good beat on living on this planet and we're probably going to be here forever. But you're saying no.
Suckers.
Right. What is it you think is going to make humanity go extinct on this planet?
Our treatment of the planet Earth has been contributing to its imminent demise.
Mm-hmm.
We live on a very fragile planet,
mm-hmm.
and something of mankind's doing will surely make it no longer capable of supporting life.
I see. So in other words, it might end up being some sort of a global warming thing. It just may, the place may become uninhabitable because it gets too warm. Or you're saying there may be war, there may be bombs.
Too many
that may
people, maybe?
Destroy our atmosphere. Yeah, overpopulation. There's a lot of things that we're getting out of control with us.
That is a list of possibilities that you just named, and yet you think we have a bead on living on the Earth. Do you?
Look, you're
nuclear
the smart one.
War, global warming.
Right.
Overpopulation.
Right.
Global famine.
Right. Yeah. Oh, that's right. I forgot about the famine, yeah.
All of these will make humanity an endangered species on the planet. And we must venture out into the universe if humanity is to survive.
Okay. Well, we don't have a lot of good options as to other places where it's easy to go live, though, Doctor.
We don't have much time, either.
I mean, we have 1,000 years, according to you.
Oh, I'm sorry. That was before the election.
What? I'm sorry, what?
I gave you that number before the election.
Okay. What? How much time do we have now?
About 8 months. Get your ass to a rocket.
Okay, that's a good tip. Thank you.
Quick reminder, by the way, on tomorrow morning's Kevin and Bean Show, Shia LaBeouf is going to be here.
Actual cannibal Shia LaBeouf.
Actual cannibal Shia LaBeouf is going to be here on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Actual cannibal Shia LaBeouf.
And one of your little Los Angeles Kings is going to be here too, Kevin.
I don't know that I would call him little. Oh, Tanner Pearson.
One of the little ones is coming in.
I don't think he's a little one.
Oh, I love the junior league.
How dare you?
The mini golf.
That is going to be tomorrow right here.
I'm sorry. Hold on a second. I just wanted to talk to Chip.
Who won the game last night? I wasn't watching. It was Kings Ducks.
It was Kings.
Kings. Okay, my bad. Back to you guys.
Be red, see red.
Be red, see red, indeed.
Look, Chip, Kevin needs something. He's
I need something
somewhere. Give
right.
me
Kings. Have you seen it on Twitter trying to trash talk?
Oh yeah, sure, absolutely.
Ralph, I'm glad you're in here because we started a conversation during one of your Showbiz Beats last week that I think we need to expand upon and include the listeners on. How did it come up where we started talking about your imaginary names that you had as a kid?
Well, we were goofing around and we played some Allie audio. And Allie disavowed it, saying, oh, that other woman who's in here sometimes, she says awful things. And I said, oh, that's right. It wasn't you, Allie. That was Gwendolyn over there in the corner. And her face went white as if she had seen a ghost.
That was weird.
Why did you say Gwendolyn? I was like, I don't know. Just picked a name out. She goes, that was my childhood secret identity name. And I was like, what are you talking about? And Allie said when she would play house with her friends and they were coming up with imaginary scenarios, she would never go by her own name. She would go by Gwendolyn. So when she was playing house, and she was the mommy, and she had her little dolls there that she was raising, she was Gwendolyn, was the mom. It wasn't Allie. She would never be herself. Her alter ego, her childhood alter ego, was Gwendolyn.
And then okay. Bean dropped a bombshell on us.
All right, but before you get to me,
Is there anything about what Ali said that strikes you guys as odd? Because lots of kids, when they play, that's part of the imagination of play, is
right.
You pretend to be somebody else. So there's nothing kind of really weird about having an alter ego,
says the guy who we're about to go into.
Yeah, really.
No, but I'm
serious. It's perfectly normal.
It's perfectly normal, right?
If you're yourself, if she's just playing herself as a mother and she has to change her name, I thought that was odd.
But you're pretending to be somebody else, though.
But you're
aren't you?
You're pretending just to be a mom and you're raising your kids, which girls do sometimes when they look into the future, pretending that's what they're going to do someday.
I don't know. We did get a lot of tweets of people who had their own fake names as kids.
Well, yes. I admitted when I used to play cops and robbers, I mean, which isn't an extension of me. It's like a whole different person. I came up with a name not only for myself as a detective from the Philadelphia Police Department, but also my best friend Jimmy down the street. We would team up because, you know, this is the days of, you know, Tango and Cash and Starsky and Hutch. There was always two guys, two cops teamed up with an "and" in the middle of their names.
Right.
And I had just heard, I just absorbed through osmosis throughout the rest of my young life, I had just heard over and over again the name Benson and Hedges.
The cigarette.
Benson and Hedges is a cigarette brand, but that didn't register with me as a kid. I just heard Benson and Hedges being thrown around all the time. So we were Benson and Hedges. I was Mike Benson, and he was Jim Hedges.
Those are awesome cop names.
And
though.
we were detectives for the Philadelphia
PD. Did Jimmy
want to
be that name?
I wanted to be Jim. He could. Okay. He kept Jim. He was happy about that. He was Jim Hedges.
But you forced.
I was Mike Benson. And I was the senior partner of the two.
Of course,
he was a rookie.
Ridiculous.
He didn't really know his way around.
You showed him the ropes.
I did too. He's lucky we didn't have to give up our gun and our badge, because we had a lieutenant who was always on our case. He was always riding us. We were loose cannons. We were playing within the rules. And he's, "I'll take your gun and your badge." And we'd have to do it on our own, man.
When Benson and Hedges were running around the neighborhood back there in Philadelphia, did you have toy guns or anything like that, or were you just using your fingers?
Fingers? What kind of loser are you, man? I had a shoulder holster.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Were you wearing a suit?
We had fake badges. We had everything, man. We were on the streets.
Did you do the thing where you jumped onto the hood of a car and then slid off of it on the other side?
There was some jumping on the family station wagon. Yes. The roof, the hood. We'd get behind the wheel. You know, we couldn't drive, obviously, but there was a lot of running out of cars and rolling around and rolling down hills. And
did you know that? Freeze, mother!
Oh, all the time.
I'm sure you did.
Jive turkey!
Now, that sounds like fun, Kevin. Why are you mocking people who have imaginary names? Ralph has just described sounds like a lot of fun.
So far, I'm not. Gwendolyn, fine with.
Mike Benson,
okay? Good with.
How about the next one we heard
about in
our conversation?
Let's talk about the next one.
Yeah, let's talk about the next one.
Bean.
Oh, is it me? Am I talking
about
it?
It's your turn now.
Look, you know my memory is shot, guys. I have very,
oh,
very...
Oh, you remembered this quite clearly.
Sure did.
But I do remember that I had an alter ego that I would use, and I can't remember the specifics of why, but I know I used to use it a lot when I used to write things and draw things instead of signing my real name.
By the way, let me just butt in, Bean. I don't think Ralph heard this part. I think he was out of the studio. Bean used to draw comics.
I did. I drew comic books for a long time, yeah.
Which you can't find anymore.
Oh,
it's not that I can't find it.
They were lost.
Yeah, but the name that I used to use was Sirius. You know, the star, the Sirius star, the dog.
So not S E R,
right? S I R I U S.
Okay, sure.
And then my middle name was Ulysses, Sirius Ulysses Baxter. So that was the name that I used to use for lots of different things.
What different things?
You know, in the back of the panel van with the ice cream man. I'm serious. Well,
a lot of places you go where you don't want to use your real name, Ralph. You know that.
Dork.
Ulysses.
Ulysses. Was that the made-up name you used when you wanted to get your ass beat on the playground?
I haven't been beaten up in over 2 weeks.
Look, guys, I'm Sirius Ulysses.
I don't think I did a lot of interacting with other kids as a kid myself.
I'm stunned at that news.
Guys, I wasn't popular as a
kid. What?
I know.
Sirius Ulysses wasn't the man with all the ladies?
No, he certainly wasn't. So Allie had a name, Ralph had a name, I had a name.
Right?
Kevin, your name was just Kevin,
Mine was just Kevin. I
better remember the one name. How did I come up with two names to remember? I just have to look in my label in my pants to remember my name.
So we thought it might be fun to hear from you, the Kevin and Bean listener. What was the childhood fake name that you had and used, and why? Like, what did you use it for? Why did you need a fake name, and what was it, and how did you come up with it? That's what we're talking about here at 1-800-520-1067. You were right, Kevin. I think you said we heard from a lot of people who apparently this happened.
I got to be honest, though. I didn't see any as ridiculous as Sirius Ulysses. Though.
No one's going to outstrip that.
1-800-520-1067. Talking about your childhood fake name. We'll take your calls next up, right after this on K-Rock. Kevin and me, Lister Krista writes in, my friends and I used to play a Charlie's Angels type scenario, and I was always Eden Evermore. That was my secret agent name. So that's the topic on the table here this morning. You were a kid and you had a fake name. What was it? How'd you come up with it? And for what reason? 1-800-520-1067. It turns out most of us on the Kevin and Bean Show had fake names as kids.
Yeah, that's true.
Some of them more spectacular than others.
Right. All right, let's try Andrew in Hollywood Line 3, please, to get us going. Ralph, I think you and Andrew are going to be on the same page here.
Hey, Andrew.
Hey, how's it going? So when I was a kid, I would always go by Special Agent Zach.
Zach?
Special Agent Zach, no last name?
I can respect him being a special agent, though.
No last name, and it wasn't even when we were playing, like, Secret Agents. Like, no matter what game we would play, even if it was, like, House, I would always be Special Agent Zach.
Special Agent Zach taking the trash out. Be right back. I have to do the recyclables, then I'll be back.
Do you have any idea why, Andrew?
I don't know. I never really liked the name Andrew as a kid, and for some reason I thought Zach was cool. I don't know. That's just how it panned out.
I feel like that was a good call, actually,
on your
part.
I like it. Yeah. I like it. All right. Thank you for the call, sir. Appreciate that. Let's go to Madeline, line 2. She is in Long Beach, up next on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey, Madeline.
Hi.
Hi. What was your made-up child nickname?
Well, it was Timmy.
Timmy!
When I was, like, 3 years old, I was obsessed with Lassie.
Uh-huh.
And so
not that one. Go ahead.
Sorry, I was obsessed with Lassie, so I would only go by the name Timmy. I mean, not just when I was playing. Like, my parents had to call me Timmy for about 3 months.
Wow, they must have hated you. They must have hated you, Madeline.
Yeah,
were you able to talk them into getting you a dog?
No, I didn't even get a dog until I was, like, 8.
Not even a stuffed collie that you could just drag around?
No, but our neighbor had a collie, and so I always just called her Lassie, and I'd play with her all the time. But, yeah, I was just Timmy all the time.
Timmy!
Someone's trapped in the well? Someone's trapped in the well, Lassie?
Did
you rescue people?
That must have been so confusing for your parents to have this adorable little girl who insisted on being named Timmy when you had a perfectly good name.
How confusing was it for the dog? She kept calling Lassie, and it wasn't even the dog's name. That's how confused the dog was.
Right? Thank you, Madeline, for the call. We appreciate it.
Let's go to Sam, line 1, Huntington Beach, up next on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey, Sam.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Made up childhood name?
Yeah, I had a vivid imagination. I had this fantasy about being a Native American, but they don't really tie in, but it kind of worked out. I watched Amadeus as a kid, and I loved the name Wolfgang.
So you were a Native American called Wolfgang?
Well, they kind of worked out, like a wolf and a gang, and I don't know.
You're like a rare German tribe.
I like your attempt to explain it. Oh, it worked out, you know, like wolf and gang.
Yes. But I did use it when I was when we played D&D, so people were kind of like, wolf gang.
All right, that's kind of a tough name for D&D, all right.
Yeah, as if there is such a thing.
Right, that's
a tough name for D&D.
That's true, thank you, Sam.
He must have been so jealous when Eddie Van Halen named his kid Wolfgang, right? He's an actual guy whose name is Wolf. They call him Wolfie, right?
Yeah.
Right?
You're right.
No, I was just saying, he's a kid who wanted to be named Wolfgang, and then there was a famous kid named Wolfgang.
Right. So. All right, let's go to Mike in Anaheim. This one scares me a little bit. Hi, Mike.
Hey, how's it going, guys? Thanks for taking my call.
Sure. What was your name as a kid?
So growing up as a kid in the mid to late 80s, we heard this name a lot. Family mm-hmm. talked about it. Heard it on the news.
And the name is?
Richard Ramirez.
Okay. Richard Ramirez, the Night Stalker.
That's not the name you want to use to play.
That's adorable.
Yeah.
I bet kids would always let you win games.
Cops and Robbers, I was always the villain.
Yeah.
And I don't know why.
What a shock.
Huh.
Yeah.
Mike, did you grow up to be a guy in jail a lot? Or?
No, not at all. Quite the opposite.
Yeah, okay. Well, that's good to know.
You don't want to play hide and seek with Richard Ramirez, by the way.
You really don't.
No.
I don't want to play anything with Richard Ramirez.
No, I don't think so either. All right. Let's try Eric Riverside, line 6, here on the Kevin Bean Show, talking about those childhood names you made up in some cases to play, in some cases you wanted to be called that. Why did you come up with that name, and what did you use it for? You're on the air, Eric.
Oh, yeah. Hey, guys. My nickname was Porky, like Porky the Pig.
Okay. And, Porky, okay.
Because I'm big bone.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
That sounds like something your friends would have named you.
You would get your clothes in the husky section at Sears?
A little bit.
Yeah.
So you called yourself Porky.
Yeah, P-O-R-K-E, because my name is Eric. And I still use that name today.
Okay.
I don't get the time with Eric and P-O-R-K-E.
E, because my name is Eric?
Yeah, instead of a Y.
Oh, I see what you did there.
A little flair to it.
Sure, a little flair. I was thinking in the flair vein. My bad. That's just dumb.
Let's try George and Downey, please, line 5.
Man, oh, man, there's a lot of people here that have the fake names. Hey, George.
Yeah, how's it going, party people?
George, what was your secret identity as a kid?
Yeah, my brother and I, I used to be Bernard Ivinson, and he was Chico Loveland.
Wait, why?
Because we went off from the first pets that we had and the name of the streets that we lived in. So my dog was named Bernard, and his dog was named Chico, and he named our first house that we lived in was in Loveland Street, and our current house that we live in now is in Ivinson. So I was Bernard Ivinson. He was Chico Loveland.
That's a long explanation for a pretty lazy way to name yourself.
Yeah, so yeah. It was the classic porn name exercise, right?
Yeah, that's what we got all the time. It was funny.
And that still cracks you up, does it?
Yeah, I'll tell you, we were 9. Everybody was talking about porn. It was awesome.
All right. Thank you for the call. Let's go to Sean in Monterey Park, line 8. Man, you're right, Kevin. There's no end to how many people had fake names growing up.
Hey, Sean.
Hey, how are you doing?
Good, Sean. We're what was your name you used as a kid for your secret identity?
Well, I was given this name, Kermit the Frog, in high school. The first day of school in PE class, I leaned up against something and it made a ribbit sound, and one of the kids thought I made a ribbit. And they called me Kermit the Frog all 4 years of high school. Kids didn't know my name. Teachers called me Kermit. That's what I lived with in high school.
So you didn't name yourself that. It was other kids naming you that?
They named me that. Yeah. One kid in particular was the cause for the whole thing. And people signed my yearbook Kermit and didn't know my real name. Yeah.
If only our call and topic was nicknames you were given in high school. That would be a great call. Well done, screeners.
Chip, that's sort of the way that song sort of fades out.
Like that?
I'm saying sort of like that. It sort of doesn't lend itself to the hay.
But does it?
But does it? No.
Yeah, well,
I think no.
Agree to disagree on this one.
Wow.
We've got tickets every morning this week on the Kevin and Bean Show to both nights of the Sold Out K-Rock Almost Scoots Christmas 2016. And we're going to give away a pair to each night for a lucky Kevin and Bean listener coming up just after 9. Plus, Rudy Cisneros stops by, you guys.
How about that?
Haven't talked to Rudy in a while.
Has been a while.
He's very excited. His Raiders are playing in Mexico City tonight.
He's out?
I think he's out on parole, I think. That's the word, right? I couldn't decide between parole and jail.
How many P's are in parole?
Well, I was talking to my friend Porky Pig, and I got confused. Ah. Ralph is here now. Time for another look at the showbiz beat here on a Monday. What's going on?
We were talking about childhood names just a minute ago, and I wanted to give a shout-out to our listener Jason Fox, who already has a pretty cool name.
Yeah, no kidding.
But he said regarding my career as Philadelphia police detective Mike Benson and my partner Jim Hedges.
Right.
He said, well, at least your childhood crime-fighting names were better than my crime-fighting team of Bausch and Lomb. Bausch and Lomb were...
Contact lenser?
They're an optics company. They do contact lenses and glasses.
Yeah, that's not cool.
Bausch and Lomb were nearsighted New Hampshire State Police union reps by day, fireworks stand owners by afternoon.
Now I'm in.
Yeah, me too. It is Monday. We take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office on a Monday. That's just what we do. Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them were number one at the box office. I guess was, not them. The Beasts weren't number one. The movie was number one. $75 million made it number one, crushing everything else that was out this weekend. Doctor Strange, another giant smash hit, only made $17.7 million in the wake of The Beasts. Trolls made $17.5 million. Those are your top three films. Then Arrival and Almost Christmas. Hacksaw Ridge at number 6. The Edge of 17 debuted to $4.8 million. That made it number 7. Bleed for This
Miles Teller boxing movie came in at number 8 with $2.4 million in its debut. Then The Accountant and Shut-In were your top 10 movies at the box office. Well, I think even Kanye West is getting sick of Kanye West. I don't know if you heard his rant or not in Sacramento over the weekend. He went off on Beyonce and Jay-Z and Hillary Clinton and the media and pretty much anyone you can name he went
off
on.
I'm sorry for the realness.
It was real, all right. It was real boring for the people in the audience in Sacramento who wanted to hear a concert.
It's about ideas, bro.
He actually cut the concert short after the rant to add insult to injury.
What was it, like 30 minutes total?
Yes.
I think.
I don't know if you heard any of it, but here's a little Kanye West going off.
Beyonce, I was hurt. I went down 7 years on behalf of your fake. Don't throw no out talking. I am putting my career, my life, my public well-standing at risk when I talk to y'all like this. This is a moment in the matrix, bro. The vibes is back. Motherfuckers might feel a way about this tonight. Beyonce, I was hurt because I heard that you said you wouldn't perform unless you won Video of the Year over me and over Hotline Bling. In my opinion, now don't try to diss Beyonce. She is great. Taylor Swift is great. We are all great people. We are all equal. Yeah. But sometimes we be playing the politics too much and forgetting who we are.
Sing a song.
Just to win. Winning. Looking cool. Looking cool. Being cool. All that, bro.
Bean, he's finally on your side. F being cool.
Yeah. Then he shouted, I'm on my Trump ass tonight, and stormed off stage.
And canceled the rest of his tour.
Next story.
And did he cancel the rest of his tour, Ralph?
I'm glad you asked, Kevin.
I have tickets, but I'm not sure whether he will be performing.
Kanye West has canceled the remaining dates of the St. Pablo tour. He announced all tickets will be refunded at the point of purchase. He canceled Sunday's show at the Forum here in L.A. without explanation, and now has come forward to say the Fresno show, concerts planned in Atlanta, Boston, Brooklyn, Dallas, Denver, Philadelphia, and other cities through the end of the year have all been canceled. You can get your tickets. You can get your refund at the point of purchase for those tickets.
He played at the Forum a bunch of nights, and I had no interest in going because I don't want to be yelled at. I like his music.
Here's a source close to Kanye explaining the cancellation. He's just exhausted. He's been working around the clock on fashion design, both his own line and the Adidas line. He's a notorious workaholic. So balancing both that work, which is extremely important to him, and the rigors of the tour every night, it really wore him out. All the time spent away from his family has been a stress on him as well. They're all the most important thing to him. Obviously, he's a professional and wants to give his fans a great experience. I think it was his gut telling him not to extend the tour through the end of the year, but he decided to push through. He doesn't want to give his fans anything less than the best. Oh, yes, and also, he's bat-ass crazy, said the spokesperson.
Doesn't seem like he had his fans' interests in mind in Sacramento.
You think he would have done a show if that was the case.
Right. He's already there.
Maybe all the energy he's expending screaming about Beyonce and the conspiracy theory of her insisting to win or else she wouldn't perform, and that's why he didn't win. But who cares about winning? But I care a lot about winning because I didn't win.
But she's cool, so don't put her down.
But she's great. I'm great, but she's also great, and Taylor Swift is great. And you know what? F winning. But I wanted to win, but she said I couldn't win because she wouldn't play the song if she didn't win. But F that. Trump! Foaming at the mouth, falling over backwards.
What's the point of thinking?
Are we, it's not funny yet? Mode? We're not Amanda Bynesing this yet, are we?
Oh, God, no.
Okay.
No, it's still funny.
If he is in a rubber room in a straitjacket, I'm laughing through the window.
Okay.
So there's no point where it's not going to be funny.
I just want to make sure we're not dealing with mental illness yet.
F him.
I don't know that we haven't been dealing with mental illness this whole time. Who knows?
Look, I think extreme egomania...
Absolutely.
Is mental illness.
Yeah, well.
And he's got...
He's got that.
He's got a terminal case. So let's hurry up and get to the end. Right? Who's with me? I think we all are.
I just wanted people to like me more.
Do you? Really? Well, Mission accomplished.
I feel like you're playing that one wrong then.
Wow. Hurry up with my damn croissants.
Mm-hmm. It's just, we're living in a crazy time, people.
Yeah, we are.
And by the way, let's not forget, Kevin has already pledged to vote for Kanye West for president in 2020.
Megalomania is running rampant in this country. It's like some sort of epidemic. As if there's a virus going on. It's the zombie apocalypse, but instead of the walking dead, we have the walking arrogant.
Wrong.
It's nuts. I think we are descending into an era of self-worship that is going to be the downfall of our society. I think we had no idea when selfies and social media and all that started that it would lead us down to a path of complete isolation and complete self-absorption to the point where everything else is irrelevant but me and my feelings and what I want.
I don't think you're exaggerating, Ralph.
I don't think I am either. I'm deadly serious about this.
And when people write the history, particularly of the 2016 election, they will say part of the problem was that nobody wanted to be exposed to anybody else or their ideas. Everybody wanted to stay in their own lane and screw the other guy.
Wrong.
And that's partly how we ended up where we're at.
And win at all costs. The cost of the facts, the cost of other people, the cost of the country. I need to win because I love me.
Well, Kanye loves himself enough that he doesn't need my love as well. So he can have his own.
But he just wants to be...
No, thank you.
He just wants more people to like him.
People like him, that's right. That's
no,
all.
No, thank you.
You can't handle the realness.
I can't.
Speaking of real, these people are nuts. Have you ever seen the movie The Amityville Horror? Any of the versions? They've done a couple remakes. It was a famous book as well.
Yep.
Story of a 1927, 5,000-square-foot Dutch colonial-style home on Ocean Avenue in Amityville, New York. Was the home of an infamous mass murder in 1974. And it was reportedly the haunted, and there was just a series of horrifying, terrible tales told about this place. Well, it was just sold this week.
Somebody bought that house.
Somebody bought that house.
Bean?
Wasn't me.
Who's buying that house?
You are all going to die tonight.
That's some balls right there. Because look, I don't even believe in that stuff. I'm not a big occult guy or whatever.
Right.
But there's enough just from other people.
There's enough weirdness there that you go, there are other houses.
And there's looky-loos, and people want to come by and worship that house.
The deal-breaker for me was knowing you were inviting people into your front yard for the whole time you lived
there. They want to go to the spot where the murders happened, and they might think it has some kind of powers or something. They're showing up with their pentagrams, and I don't want to know. But I'm not moving in. And I'm not going to a yard sale if they have one there, too, either, by the way, because I don't want to know what they're putting.
Count you out on all their plans?
For all their plans. I'm not going over the 4th of July picnic. I don't want any invites from those owners.
That what state is this in?
It's in New York.
New York. And how much did it go for, does it say?
It was placed on the market in June for $850,000. It comes with a quarter acre and a boathouse.
Oh.
And lots of bones.
Okay.
A lot of bones are being buried.
A lot of noise late at night.
A lot of pigs and flies.
No, thank you.
Yeah.
I just wish my brothers were alive to see this.
Me too, Dorothy. Where are your brothers, by the way?
They're all dead now.
Oh. Well, they shouldn't have gone to the Amityville Horror House. That'll teach them. Take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Bjork is 51 years old today.
What is it you always say about Bjork?
I say Bjork.
Oh, that's right.
That's what I say. Michael Strahan, you're a New York Giants great host of the Kelly Ripa show, co-host on that show for a while, and then Fox News, and $100,000 Pyramid.
I believe he won a Super Bowl with the Giants, and I believe he is in the NFL Hall of Fame as well, isn't he, Ralph?
I believe those things also are true. Bella Twins from WWE celebrate their birthday today. 33 years old. Jenna Malone is 32. Carly Rae Jepsen turns 31. And Carla Solardi, a.k.a. Rosa G, our favorite rapper, Rosa G. She's celebrating a birthday today, so we wanted to give her a shout-out because we love her work so much. Can you get a little roast cheese?
Sure. Thanks. Give some thanks. Thanksgiving is the best, so I gotta give some thanks. Thanks. Give some thanks. Thanksgiving is the day that I gotta give some thanks.
You change the music on that, it's a Bjork song. It really is. They have a lot in common, those two. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
2 weeks from Saturday, December 10th, at the Forum is night number one of the sold-out K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas 2016 with Blink 182 and Kings of Leon, Jimmy Eat World, AFI, so much more. Then the following night is the Sunday with night two, Green Day, Beck, Weezer, Bastille, and again, so much more. We're the only place you can win tickets this week on K-Rock. It's right here at the Kevin and Bean Show.
Yes, and we're giving away tickets to both nights.
That's right, and we're doing that right now with a game that we like to call Lightning in a Bottle.
If you want tickets to see Acoustic Christmas on both days, it is lightning in a bottle. You gotta find them in the right place. So there's just one thing to do. It will all depend on you. Find lightning in a bottle. He might try and make you eat poo.
We got a winner! Oh, Nelly.
Let's talk to our man, Lightning, former producer of the Kevin and Bean Show, longtime brains behind KRock.com, who is out on the street today dressed in a bottle costume at a secret undisclosed location. Hey, Lightning, how's it going, man?
Gentlemen, how you doing?
You are... Wow. Whoa! You've been standing out there dressed like a bottle in the rain for the last 3 hours. How's it been going for you?
Well, it's been soggy and cold, and I feel like a dumbass, but okay. We have 16 people here that figured out the clues and showed up to meet us at this this wooded location.
Tell us tell us where you are.
So I am – I can't even pronounce the park name. I'm in a park across the street from the Pico Rivera Mall. I'm sorry. Where am I?
I like that he doesn't know.
Park. He's Shabaram. Shabaram Park, yes.
Okay, something like that. Right. So –
What have you been doing for 3 hours? I figured you would have that answer.
Not reading the park name.
Okay. All right.
Okay. Let me run down the clues for people who were playing along and think they might have figured it out or tried hard but couldn't figure it out. Let's go through the clues here. So at 6 o'clock we came on this morning and we said, beware the Libyan terrorists. Lightning, what was that a reference to?
So that is where they shot Back to the Future. So in the parking lot here at the mall across the street, they shot that famous scene where Doc Brown hits his 88 miles an hour, right?
That's right.
88 miles an hour, goes back in time. That happened. They shot that directly across from where I'm standing, about 100 yards away.
Right. That was the Puente Hills Mall in the Back to the Future film. It was called the Twin Pine Mall, Mall. But that's what Beware the Libyan Terrorist was. All right. Clue number two at 7 o'clock. The most active volcano in Mexico. How was that meant to help people find you?
So the most active volcano, it's called Colima. And we are on Colima Street.
I don't get the tie-in.
See, right there. Now, I will say this, though. Colima is like 30 miles long. So there were people going up and down and back and forth. So that clue kind of only sort of helped people.
Okay. All right. Well, I mean, but they also had the mall location. All right. Then number three was a clue that nobody could figure out unless they Googled it. And that was a 49ers halfback when I Love Lucy premiered on TV. So you go to your Google machine and you look up I Love Lucy and you find out that used to be a TV show that premiered in 1951. And then there was a name of a 49ers halfback player back then named Peter F. Shabaram. And boom, there's the name, the Shabaram Park. And that's where you're at this morning, correct?
Yeah, it's interesting. We had some locals show up because they were familiar with, they put two and two together with the park name. Another gentleman from San Bernardino who just put the clues together without knowing the name of the park and just Googled it and, you know, used his abacus to lead him here. I am thrilled with the turnout and people's, they were literally a couple of people that ran up with seconds on the clock before 9 o'clock panting going, gotta make it! So, good group. We got a good group out here.
All right. Well, fantastic. Well, we said anyone who's there by 9 would be in the drawing. So 16 people there, fingers crossed, trying to see who's going to win tickets to both nights. Lightning, what do you have? You have names in a hat, or how are you doing this?
So what I did, we've got a clear plexiglass block, a box about a foot tall. I've got all the names.
Start the drums again, please.
Yep.
Keep going.
I've got my clear plexiglass box here. I'm going to reach in.
Right.
I'm going to stir around with my left hand. Right,
and when are you going to do that?
I'm going to do it right now.
Okay, good.
And the winner for both nights of K-Rock's Almost Acoustic Christmas is Jose Guerrero.
Yeah! Jose Guerrero.
Jose is right here. Jose, come here. Talk to Kevin P. How's it going?
Jose!
Yes.
Both nights of the K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas 2016. You're going to be there Saturday night and Sunday night.
Yes.
Okay, good talking to you. Good chat. It is lightning
in a bottle. When I, you know, I was kind of used to now the games being played in London, NFL games every season. They're doing, a couple of games in London every year, trying to expand the international market. And now I saw that they're going back to Mexico for their second ever regular season NFL game in Mexico City. This Estadio Azteca, Kevin, you've probably seen a lot of soccer games played there.
Yeah, there's been the American soccer team has trouble breathing.
Yes. Well, we're going to get to that.
Okay.
Over 100,000 people in the stands expected tonight for Monday Night Football. This time around, it's the Houston Texans and the Oakland Raiders. So you put the Raiders and Mexico together, you got one very happy Rudy Cisneros, who joins us from Mexico City on the phone on K-Rock right now. Hey, Rudy, how are you?
What's up, fool? Hey, what's up?
How you been?
Suppers. Oh, dog, like living a dream. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, mm-hmm. You're saying you're living a dream.
I'm living the dream, fool.
Right.
You know,
right.
Like, does that make sense? Can you compute?
Yes. No, we got it. Okay. I was just curious. Did you
like
go?
If I wake up, if I'm like asleep and dreaming and it's all good,
right.
That's like how my life is.
Oh, I see.
Right. Everything's so great for you right now.
Damn. That's right.
So, Rudy, did you go down to Mexico City for this game, or were you already back there visiting family?
No, dog. I didn't even know there was a Raider game in Mexico City, fool. Like,
what?
It's just like good luck for me, you know. Like I'm saying, life's a dream. Like that's how it happened, fool. Because like you know how like I got Sad Girl to like lose all that weight by putting the meth in her horchata.
Yeah, I do remember that unfortunate time. Yes.
Yeah, she lost like 122 pounds or something.
Right.
So like I built it like you know, I'm not doing too well like with the money. You know what I'm saying? Like I mean, I got my job, but like I'm struggling. I can't afford to fly to Mexico City. It's getting crazy expensive, dog.
Right.
And like you know, like with you know, Donald Trump, everybody's worried. You know, all the La Raza is like all worried about like how we're getting over the border.
Right.
So I was blazing, right? And I was watching Crazy Birds, you know, with little Miklo, my little son.
Right.
And like I built a catapult that would fly people from L.A., just blast them over the border, you know?
Oh.
And so, it was working pretty good. I was using my primo, and my friend Joker, and it worked. But then I put Sad Girl in there, and I forgot how light she got, and I blasted her all the way to Mexico City. So then I was like, damn, fool, I better go get her. So then I got in the Astro van, fool. I went down there. I drove down. And when I got here, fool, I was in the hotel, and, these vatos came in. They're big. And then I started taking bong rips with them, and they were passing out because the air pressure's all low because of the elevation.
Right.
They were just falling over left and right like those goats that you scare. And then and then there's one vato was like, hey, those are the Raiders, dog. I was like, shut up, what the Raiders doing in La Ciudad de Mexico? And he's like, no, for real, dude, they're playing like the Texans, dog. And so that's how that happened.
Okay, well, that's quite a story. All right, so Kevin made reference to it. Here's the thing about Mexico City. First of all, it's a very high stadium. Isn't it like 7,000 feet or something like that? So it's way higher than the teams are used to playing, even when they visit Denver. And second of all, the air pollution is so bad in Mexico City that literally you're going to see players on the sidelines tonight with oxygen masks. I mean, that's a tough place.
They may play with them.
Yes, they may play with them on. It's a tough place to be an athlete.
That's because they're bitches, dog. You know what I'm saying? My lungs are all good, dog. You know? Like, my Sad Girl, she's already like a Gold Gloves boxer. She's only been here like 3 days.
Is that right?
She only has one leg, too.
Why does she only have one leg?
Because she cut it off from the meth. She thought there were bugs in it.
Oh, no. That's...
Don't say that like it's a negative. That seems bad.
Hey, I mean, it's all right.
Like, okay.
It's another 30 pounds. That
right? It's bright side to everything, right, Rudy?
And I put a mural on it. It made a wood leg. And I drew, Virgin Mary on it. And
okay.
Andre Ethier.
Well, listen, since you're there, and I know you love the Raiders so much, are you going to at least try to go to the game and see your boys?
Nah, dog. I mean, you know, I'm already scheming, dog. I got businesses blowing up over here. I might just stay over here, dog. You know what? The other day, I realized... When I was here, there was this girl. She's like, I got to get to America because, you know, my life sucks. And I want to go there and, get work. But, you know, Donald Trump, you know, he scares me, fool.
Right.
And then I was, you know, talking to her. And she was like, you know, I need a massage. And so, I massaged her face. But I had just eaten, some Cheetos, dog, you know.
Yeah.
And, so her face got all orange. And then she went over the border. And it turns out, if you're orange right now, the INS just thinks you're like a Trump kid or something, so they just let you go.
They just wave you through?
Yes, they're like, go ahead, oopa loopa doc. So, like, next thing you know, now I'm, like, selling it like crazy. I'm, like, you know, on the street just, like, slanging Cheetos for your dome. You could crush them on your face.
Right.
And then you walk right over, dog. That's what that happens.
But you don't think at some point they're going to start wondering how many kids he has?
Hey, well, it's Mexico, dog. And people have, like, 40 kids. Hey, well, like,
yes, go ahead.
Have you seen Demi Moore's bush?
Okay, why would you even? That's so random.
Why
that's
would
not
you
what
say
we're
that?
Talking about at all, Rudy.
Because it's crazy, dog.
All right. Great to talk to you. Have fun in Mexico City. Always a pleasure, Rudy.
Hey, what's your waist size?
Why?
I don't know. Like, I want to get you some dickies. Hey, what's your social security number, dog?
All right, we got to go. Thank you. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 938.
Can we recreate some of that magic from earlier in the hour? You've just won tickets to both nights of the sold-out K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas.
Yes.
Ladies and gentlemen, this has been...
You're going to be there both nights!
Yes. Jose was on fire.
He was, right?
He was en flambé.
He really was.
Made it all worth it.
Did. I'm glad we
fired up.
We got that bottle costume and all that for just the sheer joy in his voice.
He's going to cut the energy in half at the shows. We need to make up for it tomorrow.
If you're sitting behind him, you're the luckiest person at Weenie Roast at Acoustic Christmas, because he's going to just be in his seat the whole time. He'll be enjoying it, but just very quietly.
Well, we do have more tickets you can win tomorrow. First, though, we're not quite done with the Monday show. Ralph is in for one more look at the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
Ah, Monday. You know what that means. The weekend box office. What do people go to
say? Fun day. So when you said Monday, meant fun day, maybe, but no.
That's Sunday, Bean.
Yeah.
Everybody oh, is Sunday fun day?
Yes.
Oh,
sorry. All right.
That's my fun day. It's my I don't have to run day.
Right.
Wow. Sunday. Monday's wow. Manic, I find.
Ah.
It's just another wow. Manic Monday. That's what this is.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Top 10 movies at the box office. That's what we'd mean on Monday mornings. We take a look at what people went to see in theaters over the weekend. Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them. Oh, right?
Right.
$75 million.
I saw it, loved it. Feel like I need to go again.
Is that really going to help?
I feel like it is.
Do you?
Yeah.
Mm.
I feel like okay. It's going to help.
All right. You're adorable. Doctor Strange was number two at the box office. That only made a paltry $17.7 million. Trolls was third. 17.5, then Arrival and Almost Christmas were your top five films. Hacksaw Ridge. We have to tell you, Hacksaw Ridge. Sounds like a bad place to fight.
It does.
I'd rather fight in, like, Cotton Candy Knoll. That's where I want to fight my wars.
They probably weren't given a choice.
But wouldn't you? You don't want to go. Hacksaw
correct.
Ridge automatically sounds no. bad.
Yeah. Sounds like you're going to have
no
a bad
good.
Time.
Our next battle, Hacksaw Ridge. No. Can we go someplace? Where's Kashmir Valley? Let's go fight there. It sounds softer. $8.6 million at number six. The Edge of 17 debuted with $4.8 million. Bleed for this. The new Miles Teller boxing film was eighth. It debuted with $2.4 million. And The Accountant and Shut-In were your top 10 movies at the box office this weekend. If you know anything about our president-elect, you know he's a very sensitive person.
Right.
The theater kids, the musical theater kids, hurt his feelings. And then Saturday Night Live also hurt his feelings this weekend.
Wrong.
I don't know if you caught
it. But he's far too busy to get caught up in any of that pop culture ephemera, isn't he?
Not according to his Twitter feed. Apparently he's very tuned into the pop culture. Less so much the culture, but the pop culture.
Pop culture,
very,
right.
Very much in tuned.
I look forward to all of his reviews of every TV show that's going to be on in the next 4 years.
Well, the musical theater kids really hurt his feelings, and okay. Then Saturday Night Live hurt his feelings when he released the tweet, "I watched parts of NBC's Saturday Night Live last night. It is a totally one-sided biased show. Nothing funny at all. Equal time for us?" he asked. A lot of people asked, who's us? Aren't you president of America now? who's the us? One of those people was Alec Baldwin himself. Donald Trump from SNL himself could not help but reply to Trump's tweet. And he tweeted, "Equal time? The election is over. There's no more equal time. Now try to be president." then have people respond. That's pretty much it. You know what I would do if I were Prez, he said? I'd be focused on how to improve the lives of as many Americans as possible. I'd be focused on improving our reputation abroad, including actually fighting for freedom and not just oil. I would make every effort to retrain Americans, so to create jobs. One way to make America great again is to put it back to work. I would make appointments that encouraged people, not generate fear and doubt. I could go on. You want more advice? Call me. I'll be at SNL, said Alec Baldwin. So shots have been fired, and we're in for a long 4 years, boys and girls. So,
Yeah. Don't you have to have a certain amount of thick skin to be president of the United States of America? You can't just
listen.
Be I always feel like you have by to. Every critic.
You can't take the time and energy to respond to every joke that's made about.
You would have to have the thickest skin, I would think, of anybody. Every decision you make,
I think
meets
it
with
probably
hate.
Hurts, and it's a pain in the ass, and it's a real thorn in your side. But you know what? That's kind of the job, and you suck it up. And I don't remember George Bush ever once tweeting Will Ferrell saying he wasn't funny when he was doing him.
That's because he was funny.
On SNL over and over. So was Alec Baldwin, by the way.
That's not the point.
Okay. I don't think he probably enjoyed all those jokes either, right? But you say, for as long as the office has existed, there have been those kind of shots. Political cartoons back in the day of print journalism and television comedians and shots taken. That's sort of the satirist's job, is to poke the ones in power and give them a bit of a hard time. It's an age old tradition in this country. So I think you gotta kind of suck it up.
And Mr. Trump did seek the job, right? He wasn't drafted, right? He wanted to be.
That's correct, Bean. Okay. He chose that.
I believe he did. Yes.
Well,
I believe he ran for office. So we'll wait and see. In movie news, this is good news. Isla Fisher says there's going to be a sequel to Wedding Crashers on the way. I love that film.
Same.
Vince Vaughn, Owen Wilson, Rachel McAdams. 11 years ago is when the original movie came out. Isla says that Vince told her about the sequel recently, and so it's in the very early planning stages. But everybody wants everybody wants to get back together and work together again. So that is good news. Less good news is apparently Dwayne "The Rock" Johnson, who by the way is the sexiest man alive,
right?
Still stands by his calling out of his male co-stars on Fast 8 as a bunch of candy asses. He says he sticks by his statement. He told the Los Angeles Times, "I was very clear with what I said, and I've been in the game a long time." So he did not like the behavior of certain members, male members of his cast while making that film.
I wonder who that could have been.
Although he did not specifically identify who it was.
Hmm.
Some people speculate.
Vin Diesel.
That's one person speculating.
Right.
And that guy's an ambassador. So you better listen to him.
I've heard that.
Yes. Gwyneth Paltrow, she's got her holiday gift-giving guide out on her Goop website. The Goop Holiday Gift Guide is here. And these are things that you can get the lady in your life that she will be guaranteed to enjoy.
They're useful and very affordable, right?
Gwyneth Paltrow is a woman of the people, and she knows that women love this stuff.
Okay.
So, ladies, this is what you can look forward to under the tree this year. Fellas, this is what you get the lady in your life if you want to make an impression. According to Gwyneth, the hot items are the either boobs or butt necklace designed by Anissa Kermershi. It's $510 for the boob necklace, $370 for the butt necklace.
That's the best advice ever.
If you think your girlfriend would like to wear boobs or a butt around her neck when they go out on a nice night on the town, then that's the jewelry for you. You can get your $3,000 infrared sauna. Ladies love a good sauna.
Okay.
You can get your $3,000 leather bicycle.
But you use the word affordable. That's just doesn't seem
look
as
you can't put a price on quality, Kevin. You know what high quality leather this bike's made out of?
I don't know.
It's the best leather.
Okay. Then it's worth it.
That seemed to me to have some structural integrity issues if the bike was made out of leather. I would like mine made out of steel or aluminum, I think, if I was going to ride on it. $3,000. And, of course, the $8,300 yurt. You can get your yurt on if you want to do that for Christmas.
And that's like a tiny tent?
It is. It's like it's like a tent. It's like a little hut. It's a hut.
I don't want a hut for Christmas.
It's a hut, a tent.
I'm looking at a picture of it at goop.com right now, and it looks like a giant bouncy house is what it looks like.
Oh, so it's a big-ass yurt. Yeah. I guess for that kind 20, of coin.
20 feet.
Look, wow. If it's $8,300, it better be a good-sized yurt.
Yeah. Agreed. It's good size. It's about the size of the houses you see on the Tiny House Nation TV show.
You don't want to skimp on your yurt.
Right? You've said that for years.
Right? I've always been a strong yurt supporter.
Ralph, we may need to deep dive on this catalog tomorrow. There's a lot of stuff in here. We're just scraping the surface. Listen to this. A one blade collector's edition razor. There's only 101 of them in the world. This is a razor for your face, okay?
Mm-hmm. Right.
$2,500.
Well, it's a collector's item.
Yeah, there's 101 of them in the world.
Right.
A razor for $2,500.
But are there any other razors still available?
No, yes. They just have the one.
Just
now.
That, huh?
Yeah.
Hmm.
So unless you want to have a beard,
okay,
invest. Or for the ladies, you know, you want to trim that special area. You want something unique. You don't want to put just. You don't want to slap a Gillette up against it,
right? This is Dennis Hopper's personal record collection for $150,000. Is on the Goop gift guide. Dennis Hopper, the actor who passed away?
Yes.
His record collection.
Why? Okay.
Not sure why.
Why?
Martin's got blue velvet.
Just that over and over again on every record. If I want that. Today's celebrity birthdays. Singer Bjork is 51 years old today. All right. I expected something there, but what do I know? Michael Strahan from the television. Also from the gridiron. He's 45 years old today. How great's the gridiron? Nobody uses gridiron enough anymore, I think. Tonight on the gridiron in Mexico, right. Two teams will face off on the gridiron.
That has kind of fallen out of favor.
Yeah, we got to bring it back.
Got to bring it back.
Do we still have the frozen tundra? Are we still using that?
Well, they do in Green Bay, Wisconsin.
Yeah.
Right. Bella Twins from WWE. Nikki and Brie are 33 years old. Actress Jenna Malone is 32. And singer Carly Rae Jepsen is 31, who is woefully underappreciated.
Right?
Thank you, Rob.
She's a fantastic artist.
A fantastic
Thank you, Kevin.
Artist.
You
can't even call
correct.
Her a singer or a songwriter because she's an artist. What she creates is art. That
exactly.
Call Me Maybe, the thing where that buff guy was washing the car.
Right?
That was art.
But he was attracted to the other guy. What a twist.
Right?
Who saw that coming?
You know why, Kevin? Art. That's why. That was art.
Finally, we're all on the same page.
Yeah. I wish you were on a page that I could tear out of my book. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. K-Rock's Almost Acoustic Christmas 2016 tickets are sold out, but the helpful SoCal Honda dealers still want to help you get in. If you'd like to find out how to score free tickets, you can follow them on Twitter. They are at Helpful Honda and use the hashtag WinKRock. Tomorrow morning, an all-new Kevin and Bean show. We have Tanner Pearson from the LA Kings and Shia LaBeouf.
Do it! Just do it!
Got a lot to talk to Shia LaBeouf about.
He's f***ing in Bryson.
I'm scared.
He's going to be in studio tomorrow.
I don't want to be here.
I so do. I
I'm
can't
afraid.
Wait. I just can't wait.
Actual cannibal Shia LaBeouf.
Tomorrow.